Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since 2003, Miami's going to play for college football's national title. Carson Beck's three-yard touchdown put the Hurricanes over Ole Miss 31-27 in last night's Fiesta Bowl semifinal. The Canes will head back to Miami. That's the site of the national championship to await the winner of tonight's Peach Bowl semifinal between Indiana and Oregon. Friday's kick from Atlanta is 7:30. The title tilts Monday, January 19th. It's the third year in a row without an SEC team in the championship game. In college hoops, Ohio State won at Oregon last night, 72-62. Christoph Tilley and Devin Royal led with 14 each. Buckeyes are 12-3 overall, 3-2 in Big Ten play. They'll play at Washington Sunday with coverage on the Fan at 5 o'clock. And in the NHL, the Golden Knights beat the Blue Jackets 5-2 last night in Vegas. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do a live on a Football Friday edition of the program. I guess it's still that. We still have football for a few more weeks. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3:45. Jacob Goins, Locked On Hoosiers. Can you imagine how... that's the first thing I'm going to ask him. How different... I wonder how long he's been in that job, and how different is that job now than it was when he started? If by chance he started like 4 or 5 years ago, like what was that job then compared to what it is now when you have the preeminent college football program in America, the favorite to win the national title on display tonight? Is the SEC dead? Certainly feels like it's on life support at best. We will get to that at 10 o'clock. Tim May at 10:30, 11 o'clock. What we learned this week, 11:30, Doug Lamery will stop by. It was a great game. It was a thrilling game. This is the thing with college football and college basketball. It's got it to a little bit of a less extent. But college football, the game itself, despite all that is going on around it and all of the warts and a million different problems, the game itself endures. The games are great. The theater is great. The passion is second to none. It is, you can feel it through a screen, let alone if you're there. You can feel it. And this one had all of it. This was a thrilling game. This is a game Miami should have ran away with. Dropped some interceptions in the first half of this game, but they stayed with it. They stayed with it. And in one of the more improbable ways, they score a touchdown with only 30 seconds left, where Carson Beck, who is not known for his mobility, they ran a flood. All receivers went right. There was an open path to the left. He stepped up, took it, waltzed in for the game-winning touchdown. But what's so crazy about the sport is there's less than 20 seconds left, and Trinidad Chambliss gets a throw into the end zone at the end of the game, which unfortunately for me was around midnight, and all of you if you stuck with it that entire time. But he got a throw into the end zone to win it, to win the damn game. And they get the ball with 20 seconds, and he got a chance to win it. And as I'm watching all of this stuff last night, I don't know that a minute and a half went by and I thought, when I didn't think to myself, this should be Ohio State. I don't know that. I mean, as I was watching everything last night, I just kept thinking the Buckeyes should be in this game. They were the most talented team. I think they were the best team. I think that there was the way that Miami handled their business last night and depending on how they come out of it health-wise, they're going to be able to hang with either of those teams that play tonight. There's some validation, I think, in that. There's validation in Miami's legitimacy. They have high-end talent at the very that can match up with anybody, and certainly at the most important positions when you think of playmakers, when you think of the offense and defensive fronts, and quarterback. I mean, Carson Beck has played 5 years of college football. He's had a ton of experience. And so that part of it, all of those things kind of came to a head, and it gets Miami back to their first national title game since, well, we know since when. But I did have that thought of the Buckeyes should be in this game, but it wasn't so overwhelming like it was when TCU played Georgia for the national title. And I thought to myself, my God, that is a walk-in national title. If you'd just beaten Georgia, that's a walk-in national title. It's not, I don't have that feeling to it. It's probably more closely aligned with the loss to Clemson in the semifinal before you would have gotten LSU. Like, I don't know if this Buckeye team could have won it all. I know that that's popular to say if they'd win 9 out of 10 against Miami. I don't think that's true. I think it's 6-4, 5-5. I think it's pretty close, honestly. Pretty evenly matched team. Same thing with Indiana and probably with Oregon as well. I think those were the kind of the four best. I think this Ole Miss story is remarkable that they endured and got to this point and still had throws into the end zone. And I think college football delivered on the biggest possible stage ever. And it's going to continue to do that despite all of the mess that is around it. And the mess around it is monumental, but the games are still great. And all of the things that made you love it in the beginning are all still there. They're all still there. It was on display last night.
Yeah. I didn't think too much about Ohio State watching the game last night until the very end. And I said, damn, There's no reason why this couldn't have been the Buckeyes enjoying that Fiesta Bowl win. But there's a pick six that you have in the quarterfinal game, and Ole Miss had the more mobile quarterback, and it felt like the Rebels prepared for the aggressive pass rush of the Hurricanes. But because of what happened in Dallas and what happened to the Buckeyes in Indianapolis does not make Ohio State fraudulent.
No.
Because those two teams were just as deserving last night to advance to the title tilt. Miami had Carson Beck miraculously run it in for, I mean, that's a Stetson Bennett type of play. Because when you watch Carson Beck, you don't go NFL talent right there. But he has the drive of his lifetime at the end of the game. And even with that, you still had Chambliss with a moment to make it. And I've never heard the term mutual combat before in a football broadcast. So I learned something last night, which was nice.
Yeah.
I thought of Ohio State right away, watching the first two drives of the game. And I'm seeing this Miami team, and Miami played great against Ohio State, no doubt about it. But I'm seeing this Miami team get penalties. They didn't have one against Ohio State that was accepted. I'm seeing them not take advantage of opportunities. And just watching that game early on, I was thinking Ohio State's better than both these teams. I mean, that's just what I was thinking right early on.
Sure.
And then the game picked up a little bit, and both teams made some plays and whatnot, but I couldn't help but think that in the very first quarter of the game, like, Ohio State's better than these two teams. And listen, I don't know if Ohio State played Miami 10 times. I don't know what the outcome would be, because I think Miami is just a bad matchup for Ohio State in their style. Yeah. I think Mario Cristobal, similar to Jim Harbaugh, is a straight ahead, punch you in the mouth type of coach. And that seems to be the type of coach that gives Ryan Day Ohio State teams fits. So I do not know if they played 10 times what the outcome of that would be, but I couldn't help but think, man, Ohio State's better than these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was too. It's funny, like, you mentioned that with Cristobal and like how physical his teams are. I swear to God, I think they could have just ran Mark Fletcher 35 times and he had 260 yards.
I don't know why they didn't.
I mean, he had 22 for 133. He averaged 6 a carry, but I don't know that Ole Miss was stopping him ever. And I think conversely, Ole Miss should have run Lacy more. I mean, he had the big breakoff run, but like between the tackles is where Miami's a little bit vulnerable. That's where you can kind of wear him out a little bit. The Trinidad Chambliss story is, it's just an incredible story. What Ole Miss has been through is an incredible story. And it's a pretty wild thing that they, and we'll get into this at 10 o'clock at greater length, but like the idea that Ole Miss of all teams was the last team standing in the SEC is a crazy thing to wrap your head around. It's as crazy as Indiana being the favorite in this thing. I mean, those two schools are pretty similar. Ole Miss got a little bit better history, obviously, with football, but not a whole lot. And that the idea that those teams are still in the mix is just absolutely crazy. that that's the case. And I look forward to seeing what happens at this national championship. And you got another one tonight. But it's just the game itself just remains awesome. It's just awesome. And it had everything. I mean, just think of how cool it was to have that coin toss that they had out there to start the game with Edger and James and Ray Lewis representing Miami and Eli Manning and Patrick Willis representing Ole Miss. Like, that's awesome stuff. And then the game delivered. It delivered. It was longer. Like, they didn't start even anywhere close to 7:30. And I don't understand why it went to midnight. Those 7:30 kicks were ending closer to 11. So that it went a long time, obviously. And Miami will get that opportunity to win a national championship in their home stadium. The game will be on January 19th in Miami. Lots more on this one. Lots more on everything else that is happening in the college sports world in regard to the portal. Some fact and fiction out there. We'll try to separate in terms of where Ohio State's at on the portal side of things. We'll get into that coming up next. We're off and running on a Football Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Do you hate
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place, and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Tyvis Powell is a contradiction. He'll police the food you have on your plate and shame you into dieting. Also, he has a burner Uber Eats account, so his wife doesn't know what he's eating. T-Bone and Tyvis.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan from
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Few shower chances mainly earlier in the day. Otherwise, we'll see some clearing into the afternoon and warm and breezy with highs in the mid to upper 60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 30s. And we kick off the weekend with cloudy skies and a chance of showers as we head into late morning and into the afternoon. Winds will calm down with temperatures only getting into the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Let's see. High school, Buckeyes, Browns, kids in the retention pond. It must be Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Football is good. The Fan. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Did you guys see the video this morning of the Carson Beck touchdown with the Michael Irvin reaction? Have you seen this?
No.
So, I mean, he's been this is a 60-year-old man.
He's just an analyst on the field. Really?
This is a 60-year-old man who's running on a what made him end up being a lethal combination of tiger blood and cocaine, is the best I can tell. He does the BTA thing all the time, and he's screaming. He did an incredible hype thing. And I've interviewed him before. I've been around him before. There's like a couple guys like this, like Roy Jones Jr. is like this. He's like this. Deion Sanders is like this. Like there's something, they are shot out of a cannon and ready to go. Like if they see a camera and a microphone, they are ready to go right now, ready to go. And it's 20-second sound bites. They know how to play the game. They're great at it. So last night on the game-winning touchdown, Irvin's for some reason isn't, because why not? He's in the corner of the end zone. And the way it works down there on the sidelines is there's a place that is very clearly marked for photography and videography. So there are people working who are shooting the game on video or still, and they are on their knees because they got to be on their knees. They're on their knees shooting the game. And as Carson Beck comes in for the score, Michael Irvin goes in front of the cameras and celebrates bigly, like right in front of one of the videographers.
With Sebastian.
Sebastian got in the mix too.
Yeah, I'm posting so this you're right now it. At 971BFS. Yeah. Like, does Miami need to have a get back coach or assistant for Michael Irvin for the championship game? Because, yeah, he's probably way too close. I don't see a credential on him. I mean, his face is his credential. So
sure.
Nobody in that stadium is going to be like, well, who's that gentleman? Like, you know, but right. Kind of wild.
I'll tell you this. He is very lucky that a couple of videographers, sports videographers that I worked with through the years, Tim Flaherty, Mike Klug, Sean Dunnigan, were not working the game last night, and it wasn't them, especially Flaherty and Klug. If either one of those guys were there and Michael Irvin is jumping in front of them, they would have punched him in the throat. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
They would have punched him in the throat. I think on the cocktail you mentioned, he might be impervious to pain.
You might be right. I mean, you might be right. When is the down for that for Irv? Like, when does he come off of that?
Now?
Like, what's today like?
4 o'clock?
Like, my God.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's not productive today.
No. No, I don't think so. And his, I mean, remember the last time on the Saturday game against Ohio State, he was at, it was the Texas A&M game. He was at the Jake Paul fight on Monday night. And then he flew for the 11 a.m. local kick in College Station. And he was at an 11 both times.
And that was probably, he was what, out till 2 in the morning, the night of the Jake Paul fight at least?
For sure. Private plane to College Station and then run it right back.
Probably didn't even sleep. It was probably just up the whole time partying.
Guys, he's 60.
I mean, he was like, so Netflix had him for their Christmas broadcast. And I think Netflix brought him to the Paul fight to promote it, and he's just screaming at poor Kay Adams,
just screaming at her.
Yes, and I know, like, he's not really talking to anybody, he's just shouting in directions.
Crazy. And one more week, can you imagine him in Miami with a weekend leading up to the national title game for them? What you're gonna get
all right, so
there?
The get back might need to be like the personal assistant / make sure Michael Irvin's upright for January 19th title tilt.
We have one of those electric fences for Buddy Garrity so he can run around on the property, and he loves it, except when he goes up against it. That's what you need, and which never happens now because he's been trained, but like the first couple of times it was quite shocking, quite literally. That's what Irv needs on the sidelines.
Yeah, he needs like anytime a shot collar.
Shot collar. Anytime he gets too close, he just gets shot back.
So we always joked about my buddy's dad that we had to put a shot collar on him to control him. Is there, like, no other person could do this. There's very few people that could do this, because at one point in this video, he's basically on the white of the field. And as you said, these people are working members of the media.
Correct.
There's supposed to be nobody in front of them. And he just has no regard for any of it.
No, I was texting with some folks this morning about Irv, and I'm like, it's all in play. It's all in play. Like, next week, let's say they play Oregon for the national championship game. Let's just say that. Would you be shocked if he knocked the duck off the motorcycle and got on the motorcycle and started driving around the stadium? Like, that's in play, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, anything is possible with this.
Yeah. Last Boy Scout
Yeah.
I mean, I think all that stuff's in play.
I love that you just mentioned the duck, too, because the duck's kind of just strolls out there next to him because he's like, well, if Michael Irvin could be out there in front of the cameras.
Sebastian the Ibis.
Yeah, I can come out there, too.
Yeah, but Oregon has that duck that rides the Harley out. Like, I could see him commandeering the Harley and driving the damn motorcycle
around. Just stealing it?
Yeah. Who's stopping him? Who's stopping him? All right, let's do the best we can to clear up. We did a pretty good job yesterday, I think, of clearing up what's going on in the portal, what Ohio State is doing in the portal, what the plan is for the portal, and all of those things. And I'll give you the Reader's Digest. Number one thing they were doing was retention. Let's keep our guys. Our best players, let's keep them. Let's make sure they get compensated. Our starters, let's keep those guys happy. Let's keep them in the fold. If there are guys who are feeling one way or another versus the NFL, if there's a way for us to keep those guys, Caden McDaniel, then yeah, let's try and keep those guys. Let's keep all the guys we can. I think they tried to keep Caleb Downs. I think they put a very probably competitive offer in front of Caleb Downs to try to get him to stay. I'm sure they did. But they had to give Jeremiah Smith a raise. You got to give Julian Sain a raise. You got to keep the offensive line that's returning. You have to do all of those things. You got to take care of your guys first. Then the next thing you have to do, because this is where we are right now, is you have to decide who else on your roster who isn't a starter do you like in the early parts of their what you've seen in practice and what you know about them. Who of those guys do you want to give raises to? Now, the pushback is you're getting guys who are saying, well, I want 2X. I want 2.5X of what I was getting. And in some cases, you overcompensated what you gave in the recruiting cycle, and now they want to raise off of that. Well, they're not that player. And this goes to the philosophical change that's going to happen. And I heard Austin on with the fellas this morning, and I'm lockstep with him on this. Like, Ohio State's going to have to shift how they do this. I've been saying this for weeks now. I would not pay a top premium for a recruit ever again, unless it's Jeremiah Smith. And if I do play a top premium for a recruit like they did with Chris Henry, he better start. He better have 1,000 yards next year. Like, no excuses. You've been compensated. Now it's time to go do the work. Like, that's the other side of this thing. The other thing that's happening is you have guys who are saying, I can get this on the free market. And I think if you're Ohio State, you have to say, well, good luck. Good luck. I'm sure there's some of these guys. There's 22 Buckeyes in the portal. I'm sure there's some of them that want to dip their toe in it and they want to see what's out there. And if they don't get what they like, in some instances, I think that they could come back. Some of them are gone, just gone, and that's it, on to the next. But some of these guys could come back. That's the other part of it. So it's a big weekend this weekend with visits in terms of guys coming in here. And I think what the idea is, and by the way, like Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, Texas, like all of these programs are kind of following this model. We'll see if it pays off. We're kind of inventing the process in real time here with how to build a roster and how to go about this. But all of those, like Texas's entire running back room is in the portal. Arch Manning's roommate transferred to Oklahoma.
Most of their receivers are too. Yeah. Wingo, yeah. I think, is the only one left.
Yeah. They got one receiver left to Texas. You think Texas, with all of their resources, isn't going to have a receiver room next year? I mean, they know what they're doing. It's going to be okay. Like, that's, it's good. It's different though, guys. And that's the thing that Buckeye fan is going to have to get used to. So far long gone are the days of four or five star receivers in your room. You're going to have two or three that play, that you compensate, and then behind them is going to be depth. I mean, it's going to be more like the NFL. That's what it is. It's going to be more like the NFL. When a number one receiver goes down, there isn't a next, I got next. It's a roster minimum guy who's got to try to elevate his game. That's where we are in college football. You cannot pay 17 and 18 year olds to sign on the line, which is dotted, and pay them an exorbitant fee and not get production. It's too big of a gamble and it's not worth it. And so they're figuring this out in real time. And that's kind of where we are right now, is in that world, is figuring that out in real time. I don't think they're behind. I think they're fine. I mean, we'll see what happens here over the next weekend. They got obviously some work to do, but the job one was retaining the stars on your roster. And I think they've done that for the most part.
And I think outside of hot yoga enthusiasts in Baton Rouge, college athletics took a collective sigh of relief when Damon Williams said he's coming back to Washington next year. Because I think outside of that one LSU coach, everybody in the sport was like, this can't happen. Like, you cannot let your starting quarterback who just signed a contract extension, a contract or a contract extension or whatever it was to remain at the school, just pop into the transfer portal because he got a bigger bag, an offer for a bigger bag elsewhere.
So you're talking about Demond Williams at Washington. Williams,
correct.
So I kind of wanted to see it burn. I kind of wanted to see him go somewhere else, and I kind of wanted to see Washington try and hold up that that contract in a court of law. My hunch is that by the time he paid representation and all the rest of it and the fight that was coming, I mean, he was going to be fighting this University of Washington and the Big Ten.
Big Ten? I mean,
yeah. So Pat, it probably just wasn't worth it.
Washington's athletic director, I think, had a statement thanking Tony Petitti and other college football leaders for... Because I think everybody got in on this in terms of backing Washington, because this for the Big Ten, it couldn't be the second year in a row a player just says, yeah, I know I signed, but I don't want to, and then leaves. Because, I mean, you had a Miami defensive back playing last night that just walked out on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So for everybody else in the sport, not named Lane, because I think it was Lane Kiffin that offered the bag for Demond Williams, or at least had the offer out there where he said, yeah, then I'm going to leave Washington. You now have, I don't know if you have sanity. Maybe sanity prevailed for once last night.
There was a Band-Aid that stopped a hemorrhage for a moment.
Chewing gum in a dam break.
Yeah. A little bit like that. That's kind of where it is, I think, is what that one was. We'll see. We've got a national semifinal tonight. It's Indiana and Oregon. Is there a rooting interest that you have in this game? How excited are you to watch it? The one last nine was great. Can this one catch up? We'll get into that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a football Friday. National semifinal number two tonight. Number one, Indiana. Number five, Oregon. An all Big Ten affair. I saw James Crepia, who we've had on before. I think he writes for the Oregonian. He had a tweet yesterday about the joint press conferences that Lanning and Cignetti have had and how they've just been gold. And one of the things he said is something that we've talked about for years, which is the Big Ten fails miserably at their offseason dialogue. And he said, this is one of those instances where if these were two SEC teams and these two guys were coaching SEC teams, they would both be on the desk with Feinbaum in Destin in May for an hour. And that's what the Big Ten is missing, is that type of stuff. So when you do your media days, do it when everyone can go. Do it at a place that's easy to get to. Do it at a place that's a nice place to go. I mean, I think last summer we talked about like Mackinac Island or something like that. Do it someplace like that, where everybody wants to go there, and it's kind of a resort, and everybody gets a little vacation out of it. That's what the SEC does, and they get a lot of conversation and dialogue that comes into it, and I think it does shape the way that people talk about that league and maybe gives a little bit of a false sense of its importance and greatness, which is something we'll get into at 10 o'clock. For tonight, these two guys who are full of personality, a lot of good stuff here. Where do you want to start here, Bake, in terms of audio-wise for this one?
I think I would start with Lanning talking about how this game is college football, and then we can transition into both of them with their keys.
All right, let's go ahead.
This game is going to be what college football is about. I think you see two tough teams.
two teams that are really complete. They play great on offense, defense, and special teams. They don't have a weakness. And ultimately, I think both these teams, as you watch them, it's about team football. Right, it's not one player. It's not one individual. It's a group that have collectively made an effort to put themselves in this position. And obviously, it's an honor for Oregon to be one of the teams participating in that.
All right, so then both coaches were asked for their two keys to the game. Let's have a listen.
Just one or two plays can really be the difference. And, one or two plays was the difference in that game. You're talking about a game that was 10-10 in the second quarter and we have a quick takeaway and they go score right before half.
Yeah, I think it always starts with the ball. Right, the team that's able to take care of the ball. Last time we played, we didn't. We have to take care of the ball. We were able to create a takeaway as well, but we ended up having to. I think that's a big piece of this. And special teams and big games always makes a big impact. I think we have to play well on special teams.
I mean, we talk about the same thing every single game. Line of scrimmage, run the ball, stop the run, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, turnover ratio. We're number one in the country. Explosive plays, runs plus 12, passes plus 15 on both sides. Critical situations, third, fourth down, red area, 2 minutes before the half end of the game. And teams has to be a win. Every game, same stuff.
I should have named more. I thought we were just doing two.
That was two.
God dang, coach.
He's Nick Saban.
He is. I mean, he was schooled at the feet of the master. I mean, that's it. He was asked, so this is pretty interesting. He was asked by why he's never happy. Kurt Cignetti was. Here's his answer to that.
No, that's not right. I mean, there's a lot of times I am happy, I just don't show I'm happy. And if I'm going to ask my players, right, to play the first game, first play, to play 150 the same, regardless of the competitive circumstances, then I can't be seen on the sideline, right, high-fiving people and celebrating, or what's going to happen, right? What's the effect going to be, right? So that's why I am like I am during the game. I'll smile and celebrate later in the coach's room with the coaches, maybe have a beer. So, no, I do smile, and I am happy at times.
He's a lot happier. I just saw this morning he's getting a $12.5 million a year deal at Indiana. So that makes him a lot happier. Bake, you had that data in terms of his salary, how it's changed?
Yeah, I don't know what the Athletic did an article about this the other day, and I don't know exactly what the time frame was this, but I think it's in a relatively short time frame. He's gone from making $175,000 a year to it was 11.6, now it's going to be 12.5.
He deserves all of it, and he's probably underpaid, honestly. I mean, it's maybe the most impressive job in the history of college athletics. What he's done at Indiana over the last couple of years. And
it's might be the most impressive in all the sports.
Yeah. I mean, it's on a short list. Now that I'm thinking about this, I want to say it was Leicester City won the Premier League like a decade ago out of nowhere. And that one was like that miracle on ice, like that type stuff. That's kind of where this is. And people say, they got Cuban giving them money. Well, a lot of people are paying for teams. A lot of people are playing for teams. And he's the one who's winning doing it. And so that's I save that stuff with all of that. Like he's putting it together. Go ahead, Vic.
Coach Sig needs to be careful though, having those beers in the coach's office. Just ask the guys down at OU. Yeah. Just be careful.
I mean, what happened at OU is a little different than what Indiana, the situation in Indiana.
Who are you rooting for tonight?
Why are you doing that, Baker? Why?
That was nice. My bad.
What was deserving of that shot?
I'm just low hanging fruit.
I'm rooting for Indiana.
Are you Indiana?
After hearing him talk, I don't know how I can't root for him in Indiana.
I can't root for Indiana.
I think you would feel good for Dan Lanning, no?
Feel good for AR, right?
Eh. Sure. Yeah, I love AR. Of course. But I don't... they can't fix potholes on the freeways. Like, how can I root for a state that can't fix potholes? I just can't,
I mean, neither can we. Let's be careful.
No, dude, it's not close, Bake.
I know it's not close, but...
It's not close. I mean, it's... You go from, like, Indianapolis... And as if Ohio was the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, like, perfectly manicured, to Frogger as soon as you cross the state line. You see a giant cross, and you see the fudge from Uranus, and... at the same time, and then you hit potholes. A billion.
I think I just heard a new show promo right there.
Yeah, cut that one up.
You guys have seen that place,
send that
right?
to the Marconi people, actually.
Right next to the big cross where you get Uranus fudge.
Yeah,
you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the best fudge. It's the best.
can we confirm that?
I don't know. I've never stopped. You have to drive by the giant cross to get to the fudge.
Rothman does enough of those trips when he treks to Chicago.
I think when I told Mike and Jen about, I think Jen went.
It they had never like a heard weekend of it. Trip okay. for her.
Yeah, I said you got to go. Like you got that. You need to go over there and see what that's all about. Yeah, I'll be rooting for Oregon. I can't live in a world where Indiana's a national champion in football. I just can't. I'm not ready for that yet. Not prepared for it. I just can't do it. We had late nights. Buckeye basketball. Speaking of Oregon, took care of business out in Eugene on a 10:30 tip on that one. I'll be honest. I did not even flip over. I had forgotten it was going on, and then Jackets played at 10 o'clock last night in Vegas. I'm guessing you watched all of that, or how much of that, Bake?
Well, I tried to watch all of it. I got to be honest, there were times I was dozing in and out through everything last night because it was Jackets and football flipping back and forth, and then football was over, and it was Jackets and a little bit of flipping to Buckeye basketball. Not a lot, but it was hard to keep the eyes open last night.
Yeah, it was. Jackets lose again. Lead through the first period, and then all goes to hell in Vegas. Buckeye basketball, nice win, though. It's a nice win. Oregon's struggling, but this one is never in doubt. They handled the business on the road, and you have to do those things. If this team, eventually you're going to have to win some games that are close down the stretch where you have a talent equate situation. But this trip is one where they need to take two. They needed to win the one last night, and they need to win the one at Washington on Sunday.
So the last I saw, it was early in the second half was the first time I flipped over to Buckeye basketball. Mm-hmm. And Oregon made a little bit of run. It was like 36-34 early in the second half. And then I flipped away to Jackets and didn't flip back for a while. And then Ohio State was up pretty comfortably. They went on a 21-0 run in the second half. That's pretty impressive just right there. 21 straight points.
Yeah.
But Oregon, as you mentioned, they're struggling right now. But Ohio State needed that win. They've got to stack as many wins as they can here in January because we talked about that February schedule yesterday.
Yeah, we did. And Jody yesterday on Shelly Time talked about how the Jackets got to make a little hay here. This isn't how you do it on these
was
road trips.
Was the second period issue, because the Knights scored three, did they have the dancing ladies in front of the Blue Jackets during that second 20 minutes? Because that felt, to me, distracting.
Yeah, I think first period, maybe they were over just dancing in front of Elvis because it was Elvis night out there. But then maybe they moved him in front of Jet for the second period. So,
yeah, it's hard to find. As we stand here right now, nothing panicky, but it's hard to find a scenario where this Blue Jackets team is playing relevant hockey in March. I just don't see it. Some of the parity in the sport could allow it, but it's just they are not capable of stringing together long stretches of successful hockey. They're just not right now. So it's going to be a little bit of a season we've grown far too accustomed to around here. Jacob Goins, Locked On Hoosiers, with a preview of the national semifinal coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men, it's the new...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously,
The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, national semifinal number two is tonight. It is an all Big Ten affair between Indiana and Oregon. And it, yes, if you clipped that audio and have played it 10 years ago, you would have said, wait, what? What did you just say? That's where we're at. It is a national semifinal. The number one Hoosiers, unblemished and perfect for perspective. We head on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Jacob Goins, our old buddy, host of Locked On Hoosiers, joins us there. Jacob, I'm just curious, how long have you been the host of Locked On Hoosiers?
It's been just over 2 years. Uh-huh. I guess going on 2.5 now, and I appreciate you guys having me back on. It's a great day, and we're looking forward to tonight. But yeah, I took over October of 22 or 23. It's been a little over 2 years since I've done it. When football was not relevant, it's when Cignetti got hired is when I started doing the show. And I remember doing an episode or two about it, and everybody was like, yeah, we don't care, bro. It's basketball. And I was like, all right, you're right. That's fine. And then it started happening, right? We saw the change. We saw the turn. And so, yeah, it's been a magical ride. And I may have told you guys this last time I talked to you. Now, if I try to do a basketball show more than twice a week, they don't want to hear about it. They would rather talk about football, and understandably so.
Jacob, I think it's the most impressive thing that's ever been done in college athletics. Full stop. That's where I'm at with
it. Yeah, I mean, it's up there, right? College football, it's one of the greatest stories we've ever seen, especially if it gets capped off. And I hate to put that asterisk next to it if the Hoosiers win, of course, tonight, and then if they win the national championship. But, man, if you step back and just look at what's happened over the last two seasons, we've never seen a turnaround like this in the history of college athletics, and so you're absolutely right. And Indiana, people have heard this stat by now, they were the most losing team in FBS football. They had more losses than anybody. And then they hired this, you know, this older gentleman from James Madison who brought all of his players in and couldn't get half of Memorial Stadium to be filled up because nobody believed it. They've been there before. Indiana fans were sold on this is the next coach. This is the guy. They'll bring it back. And then they just started winning. And it was like, oh, this is kind of cool. All right, we'll tune in a little bit. We'll see what's going on. It's like, wow, they're winning and they're winning big. And that was last year, right? And then, of course, you come down the stretch and you make the college football playoff, and then the fans were like, all right, this is kind of cool. This is kind of fun. And then you see the atmospheres this year in Bloomington and the talent there in Bloomington and obviously the run that the Hoosiers are on. I think that's a very fair statement, and not many people would argue with you on it, that this is the best turnaround and maybe the best story we've ever seen.
What did the win against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship do? Obviously, the back-to-back years, but it's almost like they needed that for the rest of the world to pay attention. I still don't think they did. I mean, I was talking to Feinbaum last, you know, in the lead up to the game with Alabama, and he's like, Alabama fans don't take Indiana seriously. I'm like, well, you should. You better. And they obviously do now, but that win against Ohio State, and then to back that up with a dominant win against Alabama, like, that's all you need, man. You win those two games.
Yeah, and I think it legitimized what Indiana was doing, in my opinion, because you saw it last year in spurts, right? Indiana beat Michigan last year, which was cool, but that wasn't a great Michigan team. But you lost the two big games against Ohio State and to Notre Dame. And so coming into the 2025 season, it was, okay, well, can Indiana keep doing what they're doing against the smaller opponents, but start to chip away at the big teams? And I didn't think it was going to be this, just to be quite honest with you, but you blow out Illinois. You survive on the road a couple of times against Iowa and Penn State. You beat Oregon on the road, which I know we'll talk about in a moment. That was the turning point. And then the Ohio State win in the Big Ten championship game made not just Indiana fans, but I think most people in college football kind of sit back and say, okay, they're good. They're legit. You took down one of the biggest logos in college football. And it's the way they did it, too. It wasn't pretty, but they grinded it out. They were more physical than Ohio State. They were better up front than Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And they won that game fair and square. And so that was what made, I think, Indiana people really, really believe and college football believe. And then, yeah, you go and absolutely spank Alabama in the Rose Bowl, the SEC of all places, the team mm-hmm. that's been better than anybody in that conference. And that's when people were like, oh my God, okay, Indiana's not just good, they're national championship good. So it's been an incredible run, and I hope it continues tonight against Oregon.
It's been an unbelievable story. So for I'm not going to take a ton of, I to me, the win at Eugene, that's when I went, okay, mm-hmm. that was the one. The way that they did it, that's a brutal place to play, to go out there to win by a couple of scores, handle your business, that to me was the attention getter. Coaches will say, and it's cliche, it's very difficult to beat a team twice. I don't know if it is if you have the better team. What is kind of your sense in the lead up to this one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a narrative we hear in sports a ton, and I do think there is something to it, but I also think that when you get this deep into the season, you're talking the semifinals of the college football playoff, teams aren't worried about that, coaches aren't concerned about that, but I do think there is a little something to it. We've seen most of the rematches so far in the playoff have gone the opposite way of what they did the first time. I think the only one was Ole Miss beating Tulane, but we knew that was going to happen, sure. And so, yeah Indiana's fighting a little history tonight, and I just think when you graze over both rosters, and I've gone back and watched the first game so many times leading up to this game, and I just continue to notice that Indiana, as we just mentioned with the Ohio State game, Indiana was just the flat-out better football team, and I think mm-hmm. Oregon's fantastic. I think Oregon would beat either of those teams that played last night, either Ole Miss or Miami. I think the winner of this game wins it all. I think we were saying that going into this, and given how those two teams performed, great game, by the way, but mm-hmm. I think the winner tonight wins the national championship. I just think Indiana's got a little bit more mojo to them. They've got some of the physical attributes. They've got a little bit more depth right now than Oregon. Indiana's fairly healthy going into this game. The guys that are out, we've known that they're out, and there's no real surprises for the Hoosiers. And it's just the way they do it, man. They run the football well. Fernando Mendoza makes very, very few mistakes. Had a big one last time they played the Oregon Ducks. They got to avoid that tonight. And I just don't see Dante Moore and the Oregon offense moving the football consistently and scoring in the red zone against that IU defense. And that's what gives me hope and confidence tonight. The closer we get, the better I feel. And maybe that's confidence or maybe it's arrogance, guys. But I feel good about Indiana tonight. I do.
I'm with you. I kind of feel similarly. And I'll get you out of here in this one about 30 seconds, buddy. If it's going to go south for Indiana and Oregon is to spring the upset, what will you be looking for in terms of, that doesn't look quite right from the Indiana side of things?
I think it would be lack of pressure on Dante Moore. I think it would be lack of getting home, lack of making him kind of stressed and confused. And if he has a clean pocket and he's able to do what he needs to do, after the first half of the first quarter against Texas Tech, Dante Moore looked great. One of his greatest games that we've seen him in an Oregon uniform. You can't let that repeat against Indiana tonight. And so, yeah, if Indiana's struggling to get to him, whether it's the linebackers or delayed blitzes from the edge. I mean, if they're not getting home to Dante Moore defensively, that would be a surprise to me. And then if Fernando Mendoza turns the ball over several times, he's been better about it recently, but got to keep it out of the hands of Oregon. We know how aggressive they are defensively, and they will capitalize with points. And so those two be looking for, they would stand out if they don't happen tonight.
Dude, you went Rose Bowl, Peach Bowl back to back, and then you're going to end in Miami in what's essentially the Orange Bowl. I mean, that's just an unbelievable thing. Enjoy every bit of this, and I think a lot more to come because I don't think they're going anywhere. But thanks for your time today, and make sure you enjoy all of this, pal.
Yeah, will do. Appreciate the time as always, and looking forward to a good game tonight.
Absolutely. Jacob Goins, host Locked On Hoosiers on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Like, Indiana has never played in bowl games like that, ever. Because last year it's Notre Dame at Notre Dame. They've never played in bowl games like that. And they got three of them, one after another. It's crazy. Is the SEC dead? And if so, why did it die? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. News, special guests, and everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Teacher or coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Just two games remain in the college football season. Tonight at 7:30-ish, number 1 Indiana takes on number 5 Oregon in the Peach Bowl semifinal. Winner gets number 10 Miami in the national championship. The Hurricanes beat Ole Miss last night 31-27 in the Fiesta Bowl semi. Carson Beck scrambled in from 3 yards out for the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. Miami will technically host the national championship Monday, January 19th at Hard Rock Stadium in South Beach. In college hoops, Ohio State won at Oregon last night 72-62. Buckeyes are 3-2 in Big Ten play. They'll play at Washington Sunday at 6 o'clock. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad is at number 8 Maryland Sunday at 4. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets lost to the Golden Knights 5-3 last night in Vegas. Columbus is at Colorado on Saturday. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, we had Paul Feinbaum on yesterday, as we always do on a Thursday at 10:30. And one of the things that he talked about is, should Ole Miss lose, the conference that he has been carrying around on his back is going to have some explaining to do. I don't think it's a coincidence that the last three college football national championship games have not included SEC teams. I don't think it's a coincidence at all. And I don't think it's because the league beats them up and so good and all those things. Although I think it's a very good league. And I think top to bottom, it's probably the best in terms of overall talent 1 through 16. Part of that is they don't really have a whole lot of dead weight, and they have a smaller conference by today's conference standards, right? So I think all of those things can be true. And I think it's also true that the SEC has fallen off when two things happened. Number one, when Nick Saban left Alabama. That was the first one. And I'll give Doug LaMaurice a ton of credit for this, and you'll join us in an hour and a half. He was one of the first to kind of illuminate me on this, man, almost 10 years ago, when he said, I don't think Ohio State has an SEC problem. I think they have an Alabama problem. That Alabama was the elevator of all of it. Other than that, it was outlier teams, whether it was LSU or Auburn or Florida with Urban, and there were a couple here or there. But for the most part, it was really a Bama problem that college football had. And so once Saban left, that stopped that. And probably of no coincidence, what drove Saban out was where we are now in the sport. And you're never going to forget that booster meeting he had in Birmingham that led to, I've got ranches. Like, it led to that when he said they bought the recruiting class.
I got ranches.
Thank you. Texas A&M bought the recruiting class. And I remember saying at the time, like, why doesn't Jimbo just say, yeah, so what? That's the sport now. Like, why was Jimbo so upset about it? What bothered him so much about that? Why didn't he just say, yeah, of course we did. We're Texas A&M. We got oil money. You're Alabama. You got to fund this thing Netflix style. $50 a month for everybody in the state of Alabama. We don't have to do that. We got oil money. We're good. I don't know why he never did that. Never understood that to me. But I don't think it's also, but, and so the second thing is when NIL became the law of the land or the lawlessness of the land, all of a sudden everybody had money. And all of a sudden everybody could do what the SEC was doing under the table for years. 4 years. One of my favorite documentaries that's ever been done on sports is Pony Excess. It's the SMU one. That's how I became, I love the beloved ponies. I just loved how brazen their cheating was. But rest assured, that story could have been told at any one of those Southwestern Conference programs at the time. And that story could have been told at any SEC school in the 90s and 2000s. They were all doing it. They were all doing it. And the reason that SMU got pinched is because SMU resides in Dallas. That's a massive city. And SMU isn't the biggest thing in Dallas. They have the Dallas Cowboys. So all of a sudden, all of these two newspaper town, by the way, when newspapers really mattered in the 80s, the local television in Dallas, it's easy to go investigate SMU in Dallas. Not everybody in Dallas loves SMU. I dare you, in the 90s or 2000s, to go to Oxford, Mississippi, or Auburn, Alabama, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Athens, Georgia, Gainesville, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and find anybody to talk negatively and spill the beans on those institutions. Do you remember the 90s crime law thriller, The Firm, Tom Cruise movie? There's a line in it where one of the partners, as he's starting to uncover like all of the duplicitous things that are happening at the firm. One of the partners says, don't ever go against the firm, Mitch. We used to say that when I was in the South, because when you would start to look into, like really look into what was going on down there, you would get pushback from really important people in town who would say, don't ever go against the firm. Essentially, it's not good business to take down Florida State in Tallahassee. It's not good business to take down the Florida Gators in Gainesville. Nobody, those are company towns. Okay. The university's the whole economic engine. It's all of it. And those places, and this is the other part that people up here don't realize, or you don't think about, you probably realize, you just don't think about it. Those places that I mentioned are very difficult to get to. And in the old days, when the NCAA needed journalism to expose wrongdoing, it typically came from national sources. Back when Sports Illustrated mattered, ESPN mattered, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, like massive national media brands would come in and investigate wrongdoings. You can fly direct to Columbus from every major city in America. And certainly everyone that at the time had a national media presence. Do you know how hard it is to get away with wrongdoing here in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s? And I'm not sitting here telling you that every program that was run from Earl through Urban was a clean, everything above board program. It wasn't. There were wrongdoings, but they were always uncovered. They were always uncovered. I mean, look at the deal they made out of Tatgate. Now it's farcical to think that that was what led to Jim Tressel losing his job. But at the time, the entire national media descended on town. Do you know how easy it is to investigate Michigan? It's in Detroit, essentially. It's not hard. There's Sparty fans in Detroit. Like, it's not hard. The only place in the Big Ten that's similar to most of the SEC is Penn State. And I don't think it's a coincidence that wrongdoing happened there for decades and nobody uncovered it. It's really difficult to get to state college. Sometimes it's just that simple. So I think Saban and now NIL above board ended one of the most dominant conference runs that we've ever seen in the sport. And it is over. And there is no easy path back. And I don't know if LSU is going to be any different under Kiffin than they were under Brian Kelly. I don't believe that Alabama will ever be in the vicinity of what it was under Saban. I don't know if Georgia can maintain this, and I don't care about any of it. But this is something we're all going to have to get used to in regard to our college football, and some of it's going to apply to us because it's going to be different around here too. It's going to be different for all these programs. But those two things, I think, coincidentally happening around the same time, or probably not coincidentally, I'm sure Saban saw the writing on the wall, pretty smart guy, those two things ended it. They ended a two-decades-long dominant run.
And I think for especially him, it was something that just one of the last of a breed, you know, where you don't get, and even for fan bases and schools, you don't have coaches around that long anymore. You just don't. Like, the patience wasn't going to be there, NIL or not, portal or not. And so coaches don't have the kind of time anymore to turn things over because, especially in the South, fan bases get so anxious. I mean, Kalen DeBoer's just made the college football playoff, and a woman in Alabama wants to win the lottery so she can buy him out. Like, and his seat's never going to lose heat unless they win the national championship. Like, they win the SEC championship, and you still have Alabama fans going, I don't know about that. Like, Lane Kiffin's got what? I know he's got a contract for longer than that, but like 2 years to turn this thing around? Are you going to have the governor stand up there and be like, I don't know about this guy? I mean, just the general patience of college football, college athletics really doesn't exist, at least in what it used to. And I also think the fatigue, because when do these coaches have a day off? Like, you even talk, you know, with Kirby Smart losing in the college football playoff, and then they got to worry about a portal because they're dealing with the same issues, a portal retention, of getting guys to fill holes. And then you've got to get yourself ready for next season with little time to do anything else.
I think that's the thing right there, especially with the longevity. Yeah, you're going to have fans that are always going to be what a fan is, fanatical and saying get rid of people. We've seen that even this year. With Ryan Day, he won a national championship last year, and people aren't happy, and people aren't satisfied, and some of it may be justified, but I think the college coaches, it used to be, Bo, and you've talked about this on this show, it used to be a better lifestyle
than a pro coach. Such a good lifestyle, yeah.
But it's not anymore. It's not a great lifestyle, so I don't know how you could have a guy maybe even want to coach in college sports for 20 years, let alone at one place for 20 years. Because it's just such a ridiculous demand on their time.
Yeah, I don't think that's what... I think Saban loved all of that. I think what he didn't... I think what he saw on the wall was, I can't have the best teams every year. Let's not mince words. Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson for a stretch, LSU for stretches. They won because they had the best players. Saban won because he had the best players. His recruiting, you go to 24/7, you pull back every year that Saban was the head coach at Alabama. His recruiting classes were either number one. I think the worst, I did this years ago. I'm not going to do it again. It's not worth it, but I did this years ago. I think the worst recruiting class he ever had was third in the country. And mostly it was number one every single year because he sold it. He outworked them. It was a path to the NFL. I'm sure there were incentives that were happening under the table at all of those joints. And so that's how it happened. But all of a sudden, and it's not, it shouldn't be a coincidence that the one that was the real burr in his saddle was A&M. It was A&M.
I got ranches.
A&M had something he didn't. Essentially, infinite finances. And you can't combat that. And did that class for Jimbo make any damn sense? No, he had 16 defensive linemen in the class who were all five stars. And how many of them ended up there? Who knows? But those were some of those guys were guys Saban wanted, and he lost them because Texas A&M paid for them, and he didn't have the money. And a lot of those schools don't have the money. So when it comes to building one of these things, that's the challenge. Will there be coaching longevity? In some instances, in some places. It's a lifestyle choice for sure. My guess is most of them will make their money, and if the second the NFL calls, they will jump at it. And I don't think anyone's immune to that. But in terms of sustained dominance by an individual team or a conference, that's gone. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Would you
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew, so here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudi gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90 degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Few shower chances mainly earlier in the day. Otherwise, we'll see some clearing into the afternoon and warm and breezy with highs in the mid to upper 60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 30s. And we kick off the weekend with cloudy skies and a chance of showers as we head into late morning and into the afternoon. Winds will calm down with temperatures only getting into the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Never have I been so excited to get a whiff of sweaty jock straps.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Yay, Football, The Fan. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. We're proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. Tell them Bo sent you, Easton Sawmill. They'll take care of you. How would we handle this here? How would
not
you handle?
Well. Or are you going to ask?
I don't think so either. I'm trying to provide what I think is going to be a soft landing. Go ahead, Vic.
I feel like you laughing. That was the correct answer.
Not even sure what he was going to ask, but.
Well, it's coming. You know, I mean, it's coming. Like, your college parity is here for the sport. It's here for it. I mean, look who played last night. Look who's playing tonight. Go look at the teams who made the playoff. There's going to be more of this. There are going to be 1 year, 2 year, 3 year phenomenons. There's going to be runs that happen. Sustained excellence will become more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. I mean, just think about this, from the Ohio State perspective. Next year at this time, one of the boys asked me this morning, Beamsy does this thing where, like, God bless him. I think he forgets what I do. So he'll go like on his phone in the morning and he will tell me like all of the things that happening that are happening in sports. Did you see this? We got this guy, Dad. And I always just say, dude, that's awesome. I did see it. That's great. Thank you. New information, like all of that. But I'm like, yeah, buddy, I'm aware of all of these things that are going on. I'm going to try to prepare for the program. But one of the things he asked me, he said, Dad, where do you think we're going to start the year next year ranked? Preseason, where we be ranked? They're big on rankings. They want to rank everything. And I did at that age too. And I said, I don't know, because I don't know who's what this roster is going to look like. Like, it's incomplete at this point. As it stands right now, my hunch is you will be somewhere between 3 and 7, but you might be 1. I mean, you got a Heisman Trophy finalist quarterback. You got the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith. The defense needs to be kind of reworked, but they got a couple of weeks to still do that in the portal. Offensive line needs to be, you know, buttressed a little bit. Defensive front buttressed, but corner that you're going to need to add some guys, but there could be number one in the country preseason. That could be the case. But if you're having that conversation a year from now, and let's just say it's fresh after another national title for Ohio State, which is, you know, what the road to that is all about. What does that team look like? Who's quarterbacking that team? Who are the receivers on that team? What I'm getting at is this notion of we don't rebuild, we reload. There is no rebuilding anymore. There is no building. It's just reloading. And there are going to be hits and misses in that. You're not going to get them all right. As good as any of these guys are at their job, as great as Mark Pantoni is at his job, and I think he's the best in the business at what he does, he's going to miss some. Ryan's going to miss some. There is going to be seasons here in the next 5 years where you go 8-4. You go 9-3. I mean, look at the schedule next year. Look at it. It's brutal. It's brutal. Now, the good news is Miami lost twice this year. And they're playing for the national title. So it is veering towards an NFL model. But parity is here. This notion of guys behind guys behind guys, it's all done. Those receiver rooms that we enjoyed from, you know, peak Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, from the late teens to the early 20s with guys, those pictures that you'd get that had like Jameson Williams and Olave and Marv and Wilson, all those guys like in one room, that's done. That is over. Bama had a room like that with Ruggs and Judy, and that's Jalen Waddle. That stuff's done. Devonta Smith, done. You're never going to have that again. You're going to pay the top end of your roster exponentially more than the guys behind them. And the guys behind them are going to be recycled one after another. And you're going to go shopping every year in the portal. Eventually, they'll get the calendar fixed. They'll get it right at some point, and the portal will be at a different time. But true free agency isn't going anywhere until they collectively bargain this thing. When that happens, then it can go back to the way that it used to be, right? Once it's collectively bargained. But as it stands right now, and there's no end in sight for this, get used to off years. Get used to it. Look at the year that happened at Penn State, Clemson, LSU. You're not immune to that at all. That is going to be the norm.
When you say off year,
yeah,
what are you talking about off year?
2-4 loss seasons.
7-5 every once in a while.
You've got Texas, Oregon.
Buckle up, Vic.
At Indiana, you're at USC.
I guess it's because we haven't really seen it.
Right.
That's where I guess it's going to be hard to fathom. I still believe Ohio State is going to be at the forefront of this. And when you say 8-4, 7-5, yeah, I guess it could happen. But I think that's hard to envision. For me right now, mm-hmm. just because I still have faith that Ohio State is going to be at the leading edge of this because all of their resources are going into this. Now, if mm-hmm. you tell me there's going to be, you know, I mean, you just had it last year where Ohio State had two losses in the regular season and then they went on to mm-hmm. win the national championship. If you're telling me 2-3 loss seasons, yeah, I can see that. The 4-5, I have a hard time. I'm not saying it can't happen. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time with that. But also, as you just mentioned, I don't think everybody would have thought that Penn State and Clemson would have not been the teams that they were this year.
No, look at LSU. You think they thought they were going 7-6?
If this does happen, oh my gosh, people are going to lose their mind in this town.
Yeah, and it's just going to become 8-4 is not going to be the norm. 7-5 is not going to be the norm. Even 10-3 isn't going to be the norm. But there's going to be some of that. You're going to have a year where you miss on the quarterback. The quarterback that you sign in the portal isn't as good as you thought he was. That's going to happen. That is 100% going to happen. And there's going to be, you're never going to fall off the way like Florida State did. You're never going to be Nebraska. You're not going to do that. It's too good. It's 100 years. It's the best. It's been the most consistently best program in college football for 100 years. It's not going anywhere. But there's going to be, we are in it now. There is parity in the sport like we've never seen. And it's going to be which schools can get motivated boosters to throw money at players to have the best rosters. That part remains the same. Do you have the best roster? Then you're going to win.
Then
you're going to win.
The playoff expansion will drastically change how the regular season's handled, even more so than I think was a drastic change between this season and last season.
Yes.
For Ohio State, where you saw the Buckeyes go out and try to win every game handily. And this season you saw a much more methodical, slower approach. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you've got to meet in the middle with those two extremes.
Yeah.
Because just how long the season goes, you can't just say, well, we can, you know, we'll switch into a gear that we don't know if we have because we've never had to use it. We'll do that in the playoffs. Because it, you know, goes to the Miami. It goes to the Ohio State question last year where you drop two games in the regular season and then you turn it on for Miami. They're playing their best football at the most opportune time and they're playing for a championship. But to your point about like the drop off, well, I don't think Ohio State, I think Ohio State is one of those programs that won't go into a 20-year drought of championship game appearances. So I think it's not going to be handled well at first. But I think when we kind of creep closer to a more NFL style where the parity exists everywhere, I think you're a little ambitious to say they'll figure out the calendar, because that seems to be the one thing that if they could just figure out, maybe you bring a little bit more sanity into this, but we're, I think, plugging gum into dam breaks.
And, Bo, as we talk about this, we've made fun of Tony Petitti a lot for... It's all about content. It's all about inventory in the expanded playoff, and saying, I believe the exact record he used was our 8-4 is just as good. Maybe there's a little bit of forward thinking there on Tony Petitti's part, and it's not all money and inventory. I think most of it's money and inventory, but it makes me change my thought on him and those statements a little bit as we talk about this.
Yeah, because you're going to have losses. And you're going to have injury, and you're not going to be the guy. Here's the other thing. If something happens to your best player, like happened this year for us with Carnell and Jeremiah, now they both got back, but they both, I mean, Carnell missed a month. You miss a guy like that, you don't have the number two player in the country anymore behind him because they transferred. We just dealt with that. So this is a totally different way to do it, and you're figuring out how to do it in real time, and it's something we're all just going to have to get used to very, very quickly because we're already here. Well, that's Tim May about all of these things and so much more coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. 100 years... Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Time to head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Tim May. The Tim May Show with Clay Holland right here on The Fan. The game endures, doesn't it? With all the mess around it. God, we got a classic last night.
Absolutely. And if they'd played another 20 minutes, it would have gone back and forth two more times, I do believe. You know, it's funny how people... You see this all the time. I watch it in auto racing, Bo. Mm-hmm. They say you can't pass here, you can't pass there with these new tires, you can't do this and that. But when you put a championship or a trophy up on the wall and say first one to the finish line wins, guys figure out how to pass it, right? Guys do all kinds of strange things. It's the same thing in football, man. Those two teams were just slapping the heck out of each other, and then finally they both said, "We've got to score points to win this football game." And I thought when Miami drove down and got that go ahead, I thought it was like, okay, that's it. I guess the SEC is going to get back to the national championship game for the first time in a long time. But then you got to give to Miami the last three games, man. When they've needed a drive in the fourth quarter, they've gotten it right. And Carson Beck making the plays when he needs them. And yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I could gush on and on about that game only because I really enjoyed it.
Me too. And how about you tweeted this last night? I talked about it earlier in the show, and I was thinking the same thing. I don't understand how Ole Miss got a throw to the end zone. They get the ball with 20 seconds left, and they got a throw to the end zone. There was pass interference. You're never going to call it in that instance.
No.
Never. But at the same time, like Trinidad Chambliss got him down there and got a throw to the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know where I come down on this anymore, only because you keep hearing these analysts and commentators going, well, you know, there was give and take on both parties or both sides there, and you got to let them play. What does let them play mean? Let them play doesn't mean being able to commit pass interference, I mean, which is keeping another guy from catching the ball, which is the classic part of it. And I really thought you could have called it there, but the offensive player, you could tell – that was part of the plan, was to make it tight so maybe there could be a call, too. You follow my drift there. So,
yep.
I mean, so I could see it going both ways there, but I just didn't like where the defensive players' hands ended up at the very end when, in fact, the offensive player is trying to make the catch. But then past that, yeah, it's you leave it up for grabs. You leave it to a Hail Mary. I don't know if that was really a Hail Mary as much as it was just a deep route down the field. But the point is, you leave it up to that, then you got to take it as it falls.
Yeah, and the cool thing about all, like the pageantry, the passion, all of it, it's infectious, and the nation loves all of it. The ratings for the first round of the playoffs were astronomical. My guess is these will be big. Hell, the beloved Montana State Bobcats game against Illinois State was over 3 million on Monday night for a 1AA championship game. They did over 3 million viewers for that thing. By the way, did you watch that?
I know it made you mad as you're trying to focus in, but yeah, I watched every play, number one. Number two.
How about the last 3 minutes of that thing?
And you know that was a rhetorical question on your part, because I was kind of rooting for you and I was rooting for Montana State, you know, but I also like the whole aspect of Illinois State. You know, I mean, that quarterback was a cool customer, right? Mm-hmm. And but you know what felt about the Dowler boys? You know what I mean? As soon as I saw them play earlier this year, I had never heard of them, and I started looking. They got to be kidding, the boy Dowler, number one Dowler. What kind of common name is that? It's not, right. But I guess Boyd Dowler grew up in Wyoming and these guys grew up in Idaho or something. I don't know. But the point is, that was compelling football, man. And, you know, I'll watch a good high school championship game, you know, with something on the line, right? I mean, it's just guys out there trying as hard as they can to win a championship. So, yeah, it was fun to watch, and I felt good for you, man. I know you're still on cloud nine.
It was
is
fun.
That couch still smoldering on your front porch?
it was 41 years in the making, buddy. 41 years in the making. If you – there's a lot of consternation about in Buckeye fan, and I've tried to quell the nerves a little bit. It's something we're just going to have to get used to. Like, guys are going to throw into the portal. Some are going to leave. Some may return. You can't pay everybody, and there's not unlimited funds in the sport. So you've been around this sport a long time. We've had to figure this out in a real short order with the way that this is right now. And there's a lot of things that are broken, obviously. If you were Ohio State and you were building a program for today's football, how would you allocate your resources to your roster?
Well, you gotta have the guy. So you gotta have a minimum, you know, in some form or fashion, minimum $3 to $4 million for a quarterback, right? As we all saw in the last two games of the season, you gotta have studs up front across the board. And, that was definitely a shortcoming for this team all year. They never really got right guard figured out. And then when they did, there was a leak over here. You know what I mean? So you've got to have those guys. You got to have it. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, in any year, I'm going after at least one quality offensive lineman, possibly two, in the portal. I mean, yeah. I know there's something to be said for developing your own, but boy, if you could spot that one guy like Indiana's done, that one guy who people don't really know that much about, but you can see he's not splay footed. You know, I was reading a story about Kurt Cignetti. You know, Nick Saban. You know, you've heard this before. If a guy was splay footed, he wouldn't even look at him, no matter how good his qualities were. But anyway, you got to get one good offensive lineman. I think the wide receiver room will take care of itself because there are as much as there are people leaving to try to find their riches in this age. There will be people still wanting to get into this wide receiver room because Ohio State's going to throw the ball with some degree of consistency. Let's put it that way, and the big names speak for themselves. But then defensively, you know, dude, the big time defensive tackles, they don't grow on trees, man. You've almost got to get your own from the beginning. And I have said all along that great A-gap dude, except I call him something else, that great A-gap dude, they are so much fewer and far between than a big-time quarterback. And so you've always got to keep your eye out and allocate somewhere, in my opinion, if they end up being a Caden McDonald, they're worth $2-3 million minimum and what they can mean to your defense. But you always got to keep in mind they can't play every play. But and then I think there's a lot of linebackers, no offense to linebackers and defensive backs, there's a lot of decent to good to maybe even small-time great linebackers and DBs out there. You just got to go find them. But a guy like Caleb Downs, when you get your hands on a guy like that, you got to hang on to him. And which gets us back to this whole thing, man. We had Ross Bjork on my podcast on Monday. We talked about a lot of things in general, but one of the things is, you know, the SCORE Act. Do we really think Congress is finally going to come up with that?
No.
And if they do, is that really going to fix anything?
No.
I mean, I told him, and you know the word I've used all along with you, you got to get some other college football has got to get to the word contracts and embrace it. And that way you have control over a guy if you have him under contract. If you want to keep going along this antitrust situation where you just get to get away with stuff, I'm talking about from an administrative aspect of things or governing. That's not because I'm telling you the people are going to rise again. You know what I mean? I mean, they will rise again because, you know, once people have found their freedom in terms of free agency, et cetera, they're not going to go, okay, we don't want to do that anymore. You're right. You know what I mean? They're not going back. They're not going back into the cave is my point. So, but we'll see where they end up with that. But the bottom line is back to what you're saying, you know, from just your revenue sharing aspect of things, you know, your quarterback's got to figure into the $1-2 million figure there and then come up with some other maybe money for him NIL wise. And that's going to be the most intriguing thing as this goes along is you wish you could be inside there when they're, when Ohio State's got what allocated like 16, 16.5 million just for the football team from the revenue sharing standpoint. And I had Mark Pantone on my show back in the summer just talking about how, you know, those are hard conversations you have with guys coming out of a season, and you're trying to have those hard conversations basically while you're kind of still playing football because nowadays guys have got to know where they stand. Their agents, excuse me, I misspoke here. Their representatives want to know where they stand in terms of the revenue sharing aspect of things, and then on top of that, maybe NIL opportunities. So, you know, Lincoln Kinos, by the way, is a great example of a guy who has developed at Ohio State. He knew he wasn't going to get his chance, barring injury, to really play a lot, and he's moved on. But you spent a lot of money developing that guy, you know, when you really
– Sure you did.
You know, from Mickey Moriarty services all the way to Billy Fessler and Ryan Day. And, you know, it's just hard to see a guy like that walk out the door when you know there would have come a time in his career at Ohio State when he would have been called on probably. You see what I'm saying?
So, I do, and I really said, tough, I've been saying, man, for 2 weeks, Tim, I would never pay for a high school kid again unless it was Jeremiah Smith. I wouldn't.
No.
I would never pay premiums for that. Never.
I am with you 100%. What have you done for me? You know, what
Kurt
Cignetti even says, you know, how have these guys produced? I don't want to hear about how what their star situation is. How have they played? How have they produced? Have they come forth in the clutch wherever they are? You know what I mean? There are all kinds of ways to evaluate other than just hearing that somebody's offering this guy something, so you've got to match it. Some of the fans have gotten a little out of whack in this stuff too. You know, you finally do have to leave it to the professionals to make these kind of calls, to think that you know that this player is worth that much just because. Well, just because what? Ethan Onyanwa is a good example. I'm not knocking him. Great kid to talk to. But was he worth what they went and paid him, whatever it was, by the way? We still don't know exactly.
No.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, I'm with you. And I would not be held over a barrel by a 17 and 18-year-old ever again. I would never do that.
There's a lot of players. There are very, 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 very few elite guys that you just have to have, and it's obvious to everybody. The rest of them, boy, Indiana is a walking, talking example right now of just doing your homework and building things the right way. I mean, they are the blueprint, brother. But you got to have all the pieces in place, including the intellectual property there, which is Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, and then you need to have Mark Cuban, who will write some big checks.
Well,
like that's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
It takes all of those things. So
just ask Texas Tech.
No, that's how they got there quick.
I like Sorsby, except is Sorsby really that guy? I don't know, man.
He's not to me, but I probably didn't think Mendoza would win the Heisman either. So who the hell knows, man?
But you remember, man, we talked about him. I said I thought Indiana was going to be better. I mean, pat myself on the back because I'm back there where I've been doing it. But I knew they had an upgrade at quarterback.
Yes.
How good that upgrade was going to be remained to be seen. But that guy can play, man. I think anybody knows that now.
No, that was a massive get. Getting him, everybody knew how good he was. Everybody wanted him, and they got him, and that was a massive get, obviously. But nobody saw this coming. All right, buddy, we'll do it again soon. Go ahead.
Quick question for you. You think the Rose Bowl, after two straight blowouts, you think the Rose Bowl is wondering why me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
That's been crazy, man. All right.
Yeah, it is. All right, pal. We'll talk to you. There he goes. Tim May joining us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Final score 72-62, Ohio State with a victory at Oregon. How about the lift you got off the bench tonight?
Yeah, we've obviously been searching, and I thought Avon was really good, 4 rebounds. I thought Gabe was aggressive, loved it. You know, that's the stuff we've been talking about. You know, we've had so many games where we've subbed guys in, and we're playing combined 20, 25 minutes with no field goal attempts, and here every single guy that checked in, you know, showed some aggressiveness. So I think that's really important. We adjusted, and we had to because of Brandon's injury. We adjusted our substitution patterns a little bit. Went a little bit of an NBA style in the first half and kind of scripted it, you know, just to try and give us maybe a little bit of rhythm, get guys understanding when they're going in. And I thought our staff did a really good job executing that too.
All right, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
72-62, Ohio State defeats Oregon.
Coach, you go into this game knowing that you have to do a number of things. What was the key in limiting Nate Biddle's productivity here tonight?
Well, I told you guys he was one of the best players in the league. And you saw, even though he struggled, I think he was maybe 1 for 11 in the first half. He steps up, hits some threes, gets some rebounds, gets to the free throw line. We have a ton of respect for him. And I think his ability also to protect the rim and cause, you know, teams to struggle from the field. Like, you don't always see his stats show up, but he had, you know, 3 blocks and a block assist tonight. So he's a really good player, but I thought Tilly, our team, we really executed our scheme for the most part really well against them and made it really challenging.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota gives you more electrified hybrid choices than anyone else, including the stylish new Corolla, a name synonymous with Toyota quality and dependability, the elegant new Toyota Crown Signia, and the latest edition of the legendary 4Runner. Toyota's extensive lineup also includes battery EVs like the tech-savvy all-electric bZ4X. And, of course, the iconic Prius, the hybrid that started it all. That's the power of choice. From Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, indeed it is. Time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
In an appearance on the Ryan Ripken show yesterday, former Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken said the failures in Baltimore this season are, quote, shared by everyone.
I don't know how else you can say it, because everybody's going to want a hand when it goes great. I mean, the year before, I didn't hear anybody. We all had a hand in it. We had a bunch of guys on offense that had career years. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, the tight end, Lamar, the O-line. We were healthy the whole year.
Yeah.
And we all get to be a part of that, and we should.
Yeah.
But as I always tell the coaches, just like I would tell the players, you can't get all the credit when we do well and just exonerate yourself from the blame when it doesn't go that way. That is so ridiculously, like, out there that I can't even live in that world. I can't live in that world. I haven't gotten to where I'm at living in that world. I haven't. You know what? I didn't coach Lamar well enough. I didn't have as good a relationship as I could have. I didn't do the things that we needed this year to win enough games to give ourselves a chance. And I believe that. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show, and I'm going to fight like hell to fix it. I'm going to fight like hell for the next job I get, and I'm going to root like hell for the Ravens.
Thing or not a thing.
So I know Todd pretty well. He was offensive coordinator of the year. Freddie Kitchens was the coach of the Browns. And when I was doing Cleveland Browns Daily, he would come in and talk to Nathan and I a lot. In the studio, and I like him a lot, and he's a straight shooter as can be, and he's as accountable as can be, and whoever hires him is going to love the results. And during Monken's tenure with the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson had his best seasons, and that takes both to make that happen. But I think everything he said there is on point. It's on point, and it's all just accountability. I would love for him to end up in Cleveland. I'd love for him to end up, if he doesn't have a pro job, to be the offensive coordinator here. Like, I think he's that good. And I love what he said here.
We always look, when something goes wrong in our sports team or in life, we look to the reasons why. We want to know why. We want to pinpoint it on one thing. why did Ohio State lose to Indiana and Miami? What is it? What is it? There's got to be one thing. When in reality, he's right. It's multiple things. There are always multiple reasons why all of this. And I like that he's not trying to dodge any of the blame on his part in this. He's saying, listen, I didn't do well enough. Because you can't throw anything else on everybody else.
Yeah.
You gotta, he looked at himself and like he said, I didn't do well enough. I didn't coach him well enough. I didn't develop the relationship this year well enough. I can only speak for me and my part, and I wasn't good enough. You gotta respect that.
Now, former Florida quarterback DJ Lagway is expected to transfer to Baylor with two seasons of eligibility remaining. Lagway is from Willis, Texas, which is about 2 hours from Waco. He's the son of former Baylor running back Derek Lagway. 20-year-old Lagway is a former top 10 recruit who was ESPN's number one dual threat quarterback in the class of 2024. Thing or not a thing?
Massive thing. And it goes to the conversation I was just having with Tim May, guys. Like, I would never pay for the signature of a player out of high school unless it's Jeremiah Smith. I just wouldn't. They paid Lagway. Some of it's not on him. He flashed. Like, he had moments where you were like, oh, for sure. But I'd rather have him be developed somebody else. Like, I'd rather, in this scenario, I'd rather be Baylor than Florida. You go develop him, then give me the 20-year-old with 2 years of starting experience, and then I'll get the fruits of your labor. So that this model, this is a perfect example of what I was talking about with Tim May just a couple of minutes ago.
I don't think this is a thing. And I don't think it's a thing because DJ Lagway has a lot of developing to do still as a quarterback. And I actually really hate this system that we're in for a kid like this. Now, is he getting paid? Sure, he's getting paid. But it would be really awesome for this kid to be able to go and sit somewhere, even like in Ohio State. Like, say he came to Ohio State to come here and have a redshirt year and sit for 2 years and really learn and develop his skills as a quarterback and then get to play for a couple of years, because this is a kid kind of like Anthony Richardson that is uber talented and needs reps and needs games. DJ Lagway is so athletic that all these schools are going to want him, but it may be better for him to go somewhere smaller and really learn the game and play a lot of football. Or, as we said, come somewhere like Ohio State and be patient and sit for a few years. But unfortunately, the way this system is right now in the game is there's just no patience for that. You can't wait for it. And it kind of sucks for a kid like this who I don't know if he's good enough to be a quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think we're ever going to know because he's never going to get time to develop.
Well, he did develop. I mean, he started every game for 2 years at Florida.
But he probably wasn't ready, right?
Well, no, he played. Like, he started 20-some games. Like, this isn't Richardson where he played for one season. Like, this dude started for 2 years at Florida. Was he developed? Well, that's on him, and that's on the coaches and all of those things. The example that you're – that the Dante Moore is the example. Go to UCLA, got the money, didn't go well. He had the foresight to sit for a year at Oregon, get compensated while he did, and now could be the one or two pick in the draft. Like, that's the thing with that's the nuance that these guys are going to have to make those type of decisions. Because another example of this, the opposite, is because what you're talking about is Tavian St. Clair. That's Tavian. Compensated here, learn, develop for 2 years. Julian goes pro next year, and then it's Tavian St. Clair time. But that's a 2-year bet on him, and he better be damn good.
And it could go wrong real quick.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy one. Philosophically, it is. All those Texas schools, by the way, are going to be a problem. They're all going to be a problem. They've all got money. All right, final hour of the program coming up next. What we learned this week kicks it off. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Hey, what's up? It's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day.
That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Save a good.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Some journeys start small, with small pause and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step. Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
It's a new.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the third year in a row, a Big Ten team will play for college football's national title. Tonight at 7:30, top-ranked Indiana plays number 5 Oregon in the Peach Bowl semi. Hoosiers won their regular season meeting. Tonight's winner gets Miami in the national championship game Monday, January 19th in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. In NFL news, the Miami Dolphins are hiring Packers VP of Player Personnel John Eric Sullivan to be their new general manager. The Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel earlier this week. There are currently 8 head coaching vacancies. NFL's Wild Card weekend begins Saturday. The Panthers host the Rams at 4:30. In college hoops, Ohio State won at Oregon last night, 72-62. Buckeyes are 3-2 in Big Ten play. They'll play at Washington Sunday at 6. The 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad's at number 8 Maryland Sunday at 4 o'clock. This update's sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour of the week. Doug LaMaurice coming up in about 29 minutes from now. I'll get you set for the NFL Wild Card weekend coming up in about 15 minutes. Time now for what we learned this week.
We're not trying to do too much around here, but over the course of 5 days, you might have gleaned some stuff. Bishop and Friends present What We've Learned This Week.
Yeah, I think the number one thing, kind of the theme of the week has been, and we're all learning it in real time. Fans are learning it. Coaches are learning it. Mark Pantoni probably had a pretty good idea of this is what it would be like. But I think we're all trying to find our footing on what building a college football team is now, and how to do it, and the way to do it. And one of the things that kind of evolved as the week went along was the outright panic earlier in the week with this Ohio State roster. And then as we started to explain what was going on, and yeah, there were some missteps, and they're figuring this out in real time, a little bit more as it settled. That, okay, they're retaining their starters first. They're trying to convince guys who have NFL eligibility to stay and get them compensated if they choose to stay. You got to give raises. right? Julian Sayin needs a massive raise. Jeremiah Smith needs a raise. Like, those type of things have to happen. So all of those things are kind of happening in real time. And I think it's probably, it's what we talked about most this week. And it's something that I think Buckeye fan feels better about it today than they did maybe Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I just think we're, because this is the first year where this winter portal's been the 15 days, one day after the year turns over, we don't really know what to do with our hands. And yeah, because I think you see the program that you love so much, and the Ohio State Buckeyes do not little, but they've 23 guys into the portal, 5 guys out of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
One of them was the top-ranked linebacker in the portal class, so there's a big fish you've reeled in. Mm-hmm. But you're starting to see those guys that you get on campus to take visits like a Chaz Coleman and go elsewhere. I think there's understandable panic. I won't let myself be part of that, because I understand from, I'll use Chaz Coleman as an example. I would think if you're advising him, you tell him to go to every place that wants to give him a serious offer.
Yeah.
Because this is business, and you never know if you're going to get that kind of opportunity again, because you saw with like Akeem Mezidor where a helmet took his elbow one way and then another. Like, football's not meant for the human body. So how long your football mortality is, you know, to take all of these meetings, I think behooves these guys.
I think we see former five star leave the program and panic kind of sets in. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys may develop into something. Some of them may not. But you just see that and you're like, oh my gosh. You don't look in the moment that you haven't lost a starter yet. No starter has taken off from this team. And we know depth is important. But sure, no starter guy. We don't look at, well, sure, Quincy Porter was injured, but when Ohio State needed receivers to step up, it was David Adolph that was in the game, not Mylon Graham.
Yeah.
We don't look at that stuff. You just see that. And you also don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. And I will always think of this, too. And I know we're getting more and more into this transfer portal era, and more guys are using it. Not a lot of guys in the history of college football have left Ohio State and went on to be successful somewhere else. Well, Joe Burrow, obviously. But Joe Burrow wasn't going to play here.
No, he was not. No,
Dwayne Haskins won the job. This is part of the reason. I think something else we learned this week, and I think we knew it, but we learned that this one portal was a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Because you don't have time.
This time of year, it's a disaster.
You don't have time for guys to go compete in the spring. And then if you're not sure if a job's yours or not, you've got to leave now.
Jameson, this is what I would do on that front. I would just as top of mind, because you bring this up. This is what you should do on that. They got to go. They got to make spring football like a 2-week mini camp in March. No portal now. Get rid of the portal now. Spring football is like a 2-week mini camp in March, and then do a portal at the end of May, and then do a second 2-week mini camp in June. Do a 2-week portal at the end of May. That's when you should do it. And that way, you have the 2 weeks to kind of know where you stand on your roster, if you're on the roster. When they get to a point where they have contracts and all this would be pretty easy. But it's so antiquated to have this spring football in the middle of March for 4 weeks. It just doesn't make sense anymore with the way that rosters are put together now. So just shift it all back. Have a little mini camp. I mean, they work all the time anyway. Have a little mini camp in March, like a 2-weeker, maybe even 10 days. Two practices, ten practices. Then do the same thing at the beginning of June after that portal closes, because we still have to have the facade of academia. Do that in May, and then guys will know. Because to your point that you're making, Bake, and this is what made me want to say this, was like, no, it is ridiculous. Guys don't even know where they stand on rosters. Have no idea in some instances where they stand on rosters, and they're in the portal.
Yeah, it sucks in a way for these kids, because they are kind of in limbo a little bit. Now, not all of them, because I know some of them are trying to hold up for the highest bidder. And the system is there in place. I guess you can't fault them for that, for wanting to get as much money as they can. It just sucks that it's this way. And you have to think, like, there's been a lot of smoke out there around Bo Jackson. There's been a lot of reporting, and maybe Bo Jackson could leave. Maybe he couldn't. And let's just say, hypothetically, Bo Jackson does decide, I'm not going to get enough money here. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to enter the portal. Well, don't you think that would have changed things for James Peoples? Don't you think he might have stayed and gotten the money that Bo Jackson didn't want to go somewhere else? And this is just hypothetical. That's no pay attention to scores or anything. It's just a tough spot for all of these kids right now. And you say tough spot, it's hard when they're making millions of dollars. But
yeah, on the Bo Jackson front, and it's hard to know. I know that he was looking for a big upgrade financially. I mean, that part I know. Now, how big? I mean, there's all these numbers that are thrown around, and I think there's some people that actually know, and I'm not going to get into all of that in terms of the numbers and all of that. I think it's a little bit more of a nuanced conversation. But if it came to a point, and this is where it's going to be tricky, if it came to a point, you have to start viewing this like an NFL roster. NFL general managers are not held over the barrel by running backs.
I mean, they've almost
because running backs aren't
position.
That important.
Yeah,
they're not that important. Quarterback, receiver, defensive line, tackle, those are the money positions. You don't get held over the barrel by running backs or linebackers. You don't. Tight ends. Like, there's no reason to do that. So, yeah, like if player X, who had a nice season, comes in and says, I need 3X or I'm out, bye. I'll see you on down the road. Like, we'll go get a replacement, unless it's a quarterback or a receiver or a defensive end or a Caleb Downs, like a massive impact player. Those are the conversations that are having. And the other part of this on the back end of it is there are way too many guys in the portal for homes that are available. And there's going to be a lot of guys who are playing 1AA, group of six, at a discount. I mean, there's going to be a lot of that. We talk about the tie end of the portal. There are guys who are not honest with who they are. Their representation isn't honest with them of who they are. And they're chasing that paycheck that might not be there.
1 week left in this winter portal window. On3 says there are 2,644 guys that have put their name in. 885 have committed. That's about 33%. Only 16 have withdrawn their name.
Yeah. And I don't mind like kids like playing the game. Like jump in. Is there a better offer? Is this a better place?
Because I think you're going to see maybe more so in the closing days of this, that withdrawn number tick up quicker and maybe not higher than the committed, but at a pretty quick rate where guys realize, oh, I don't have a landing spot, so I will walk it. I mean, Damon Williams didn't necessarily do what we're talking about, but he did a 180.
It's a dangerous game, though, and Damon Williams had already signed, so his money at Washington, at least you would think, was going to be guaranteed. Some of these guys didn't sign with their school, so it's a dangerous, like, there may have been $1 million offer on the table for you, but you wanted two, and then you go play the game, and then, well, sorry, we don't have it for you. It's a slippery slope.
It is. I can't even imagine, like, dealing with, you know, Urban used to talk about, like, the uncles. Like, I'm not dealing with
third
uncles.
Uncle.
Yeah. Did you hear the Kelvin Sampson comments on that?
Yeah.
This week?
I did.
Yeah. Kelvin Sampson at Houston was like, yeah, I don't talk to parents. If you want to talk to me, go somewhere else. I don't talk to parents.
Not even the mom?
It. No, doesn't. You send your kid here, I'm coaching the kid. I'll talk to the kid. I'm not talking to parents. And I think what the other thing that you learned is you are seeing this. I think you're seeing it at Ohio State. I think you're seeing it at Georgia. Did they make some missteps? This didn't go exactly the way they want. Yeah, probably all those things are true, but also they are trying to hold a hard line on some of this stuff because you can't be held over a barrel by 85 kids on your roster every year. You have to say no to some, and there's just only so much money to go around. And I think that's the stage we're at right now. And I'm very curious to see where we are a week from now. One thing that we know is the NFL has structure. It's the most popular sport in this country in large part because everybody has a chance. And when you have a look at this NFL wild card weekend, everybody has a chance. We picked it yesterday. I could have argued the other side of every pick I made. We'll get you set for it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Men, the new year is...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Few shower chances mainly earlier in the day. Otherwise, we'll see some clearing into the afternoon and warm and breezy with highs in the mid to upper 60s. For tonight, mostly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 30s. And we kick off the weekend with cloudy skies and a chance of showers as we head into late morning and into the afternoon. Winds will calm down with temperatures only getting into the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
A couple of things on the NFL coaching search front. Now, 8 jobs open, by the way, with Miami in there as well. In terms of coaching meetings and all of that stuff, the one big fish here is John Harbaugh, and he's going to take a week to reset, and then next week he will re-engage with this. John Harbaugh is the one guy in this process that if he, whatever he wants, I would say if you're an organization, you just give it. Like financially, you give it, staff price, you give it, front office control, you give it, like whatever he wants, like get it. Like he's proven it. He's the one sure thing. He's the Mike Vrabel of this cycle. It's Vrabel. He's the guy. I think Mike McDaniel's going to land. I think Mike McDaniel's going to get a head coaching job. Or at the very least, it'll be a 1-year coordinator, then right back into the world. Cause Mike McDaniel won a lot in Miami. Didn't have the postseason success, but they won. Their offenses were great. They run it like crazy when he's there. You'd be worse off than ended up with Mike McDaniel. Some of these guys are going to be hot coordinator guys, and we'll see where all of that goes. I did see Jesse Minter is going to interview the Chargers defensive coordinator, is going to interview in Cleveland. So something to watch for there on that side of things. So we do have a general manager position that was filled. The Miami Dolphins landed their general manager. A little surprised that that happened because a lot of people thought maybe that would be the spot for Harbaugh. But apparently the structure that they wanted, according to folks down there who are all over this, is they wanted a structure of the general manager hires the coach. So I don't know that Harbaugh, that doesn't feel like Harbaugh to me, guys. That feels like something else. To me, Harbaugh would hire everybody if you get him.
At least you, when you have the conversation with him or his representation, that's probably the first thing you discuss is how you think you want to build a roster, coach. What's that process going to look like? And yeah, my guess is with him, because he can pick his landing spot, he'd go, yeah, I want my guy. I want my guy to come in there, and then I want to hire my guys, and I want nobody to be over me or to, I'm not here for a partnership.
No.
I got 6-7 years left in the NFL. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm not here to just, this isn't going to be a collaborative effort here. I'm not interested in doing that anymore. So I wonder for those teams out there that have general managers in place, they're doing themselves the disservice if they seriously want to get involved in the John Harbaugh sweepstakes.
I saw the Browns also interviewing Dan Pitcher and Andre Dirty today. I think they said that as well.
Pitcher, I talked about earlier in the week. He has that connection to Andrew Berry. He was in, he came up through scouting in Indianapolis, and was there when Andrew was there. And when they made the decision that Andrew Berry is going to stay, then just connecting the dots, you say, well, if he's going to stay and he's going to have a hand in this search, think about who he knows, who he's crossed paths with. So that's where I thought of, you know, that Indianapolis tree. He was in Philly for a year and then obviously with the Browns before with Dorsey and then came back. So, highly regarded of interesting though. I mean, didn't call plays in Cincinnati, hasn't done that. So, but obviously AB would know him very well. And then Dirty's the guy from, he's from England.
He's a Brit.
Yeah. So his,
that's a wild story how he got to be.
Go ahead, Reese.
A coordinator in Seattle. I'm not sure I'd understand it fully. Just it being a small world. I was just going to say one thing about the Browns should talk to everybody. Like, I don't think there shouldn't be a name off your list. I guess I'll say that. Like, have as many conversations as you can with as many people as possible. Because I'm not sure Cleveland's in the situation that, you know, maybe the Dolphins are now finding themselves into the Baltimore Ravens, where you've got a roster that you've got to really work towards getting into the playoffs now. Take your time with this. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's the similar thing with if you're a portal person, go see all of the offers that you have available. Make the best, most logical decision.
I think there's two paths that Cleveland's going to have to choose. They're either going to choose, we believe in one of these young quarterbacks, most likely Shador. He got the biggest look. We believe in Shador Sanders, and we're going to give him every opportunity to succeed, and we're going to take some lumps next year probably as he continues to learn on the job. We're going to buttress it in free agency on the offensive line, at receiver. We're going to give him weapons, weapons, weapons. We're going to protect him. We're going to put him in the best position to succeed. There's that path. With that defense, that path is probably close enough that it could contend in an AFC North that isn't what it used to be. But that would depend a lot on if you believe in Shador Sanders. The other side of it is, do they go shopping in free agency for a quarterback or via trade for a quarterback? So no franchise quarterback seem to come available, but Malik Willis is a free agent. He was a high pedigreed player when Tennessee took him. He ended up falling in the draft. A lot of people thought he'd be a one. He didn't go as a one. It was really bad early in Tennessee, but he's kind of did what Bake was talking about on the college side of things. He went to Green Bay. He got under LaFleur, and every time he's played, he's looked really good. So is that the type of guy that you would say, if we can put him in there, a guy who's been there, done that, and has grown up the last couple of years and kind of went to quarterback finishing school, is that a guy who could paratroop in? Or even like Mac Jones. Is Mac Jones a guy? Now, Mac Jones is under contract with San Francisco. So that's another guy, though, that could be out there. In that one, you'd have to do a trade. Malik Willis, you don't have to trade. That would probably be like 2 years, $40 million, like the Justin Fields deal from last year with the Giants. I mean, that's probably what that is. And I think the Browns are going to be okay when it comes to free agency. They're going to do some restructures. They always do. And I think they're going to end up with a lot more cap space than people think by the time this is all done. So it just kind of depends on how ownership and Andrew Berry want to take that thing. Do they see enough in Shedeur Sanders to believe in what he is, believe in what he could be, give him all the support, build it around him, give him weapons, give him protection, all of those things? Because your defense is Super Bowl caliber. So this is a division that has a complete turnover in Baltimore, in leadership and everything. They're still the most talented team in the division, top to bottom, but they're starting from scratch in terms of philosophy and offense, defense, all of those things, like new offense for Lamar to learn, new defenses, all of those things. So they're going to take a step back. And the only reason they took a step back this year is because they had so many injuries in the middle of the season and they got off to a poor start. I have no confidence that Cincinnati's going to be any better. Why would I believe that? I mean, just because Burrow's healthy?
And that's what they're going to tell themselves.
They told themselves that this year.
Yep.
The only thing I would
Pittsburgh
say...
Pittsburgh will be worse.
The only thing I would say about that with Cincinnati is some of their young defenders, the two linebackers especially, started to show a little bit of life as mm-hmm. the season went on. And their defense did seem to play a little better. So if they use their resources, whatever they have, and put their resources into the defensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. then maybe you could have a little bit of a defense that could help out that offense, although that doesn't help your offensive line at all.
No, and whatever they do, I don't think anybody sitting here would be arguing that they're going to be as good as they were when they were in the Super Bowl in 2021. Like, you're a long ways from that. So, like, Jesse Bates ain't walking through the door. So, that either way. So, like, those are the decisions that have to be had. And Duke Tobin is talking today in Cincinnati, is he not?
I think that's right.
At some point today, he's going to talk?
You mentioned Jesse Bates. What if Caleb Downs walks through the door, though?
Well, I mean, that's the type of thing that they need. And it might work out, because where are they picking? Like, 10?
They're 10th.
Yeah, he might get there.
There's a lot of mock drafts I've seen that have him going to the Bengals 10. Now, I don't believe he falls that far personally because I just think he's too good. But that position has usually not been drafted high in the NFL draft. And no. There's a lot of drafts that have him landing in Cincinnati.
I'm seeing one where Downs is going 7th to the Washington Commanders. And so the Bengals get David Bailey, the edge rusher from Texas Tech.
And that makes more sense to me with Downs. I would think he would go higher, but you'd think Cincinnati would sprint to the podium.
Duke Tobin at the podium at 1 o'clock today, for what it's worth.
Yeah, and that group, I mean, they have some great reporters on that group. Petreglia, Ben Baby, of course, who we have on all the time. Jay Morrison dealt with that incredible personal tragedy, the shocking loss of his wife around the holidays. So I know that he took a leave, but he's as good as it gets, too. So, I mean, like, they've got people down there that'll pepper him a little bit, and I'll be curious to hear, you know, what kind of the tone of that is down there and what the process is. And remember, that came out of nowhere last year with Miles, with the trade request. That was at the Super Bowl, guys. That was Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
So we got a long time to have disgruntled players around the league. You got several weeks left of that. So that's something you got to buckle up for a little bit too around the league. Full slate of games this weekend. Rams at Carolina start at Saturday at 4:30, then 8 o'clock Packers and Bears. Sunday, 1 o'clock Bills and Jaguars, 4:30 Niners and Eagles. Chargers and Patriots at 8 o'clock Sunday night, and then Monday Night Football Texans at Steelers. If you could only watch one, which one would you watch?
I'm thinking Saturday at 4:30.
Oh, God. NBC talking to me on the way to school. Oh, nobody respects us. I said, dude, you're 8-9. Shut up.
Us.
Us. Yeah, us. I love it. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Which one would you pick, Bake?
Maybe it's just because of the teams and the pedigree, but I think that 49ers-Eagles game is going to be pretty good.
Yeah. The one I'm most curious about is Bills-Jaguars. That's the one I'm really curious.
Was it like Buffalo that spent the most money in the offseason, like on free agents? And
I don't know that.
I want to say brought in a ton of like Joey Bosa.
Yeah, they did that.
Like you got to do it now. And so you got to do it now.
Yeah. And they haven't won a road playoff game since the 90s. So going down to Jacksonville, 1 o'clock Sunday is going to be fun. College football down to three teams. You got an all Big Ten affair tonight. At one point, he's the king of the North, and he's still kind of fighting those battles. Our good buddy Doug LaMaurice is going to join us coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast,
or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. It is 11:30 on a Friday. Time to talk to our good buddy, Doug Lee-Maurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube, the Substack, Bill and Doug on Ohio State football. You can find him there. Well, you've been championing this for a long time, my friend. The SEC, as it was known, is officially dead. What I am curious about is, along with it, is kind of a way of life in college football for 100 years where traditional powers, I mean, college football's had a caste system. The best teams stay the best teams for the most part. We have complete parity. And to me, it's going to be more of a year over year thing. And I think even around here, Ohio State fans, there's going to be a year when you go 8-4. And it's just going to be kind of a part of how all of this shakes out. Where do you stand on what is really quickly a new brand new landscape in college football?
Are you going on the record with 8-4 Ohio State?
That's not next year.
A big take, brother.
No, not next year. I do think it's coming. I think that type of stuff is coming.
I don't know about that. But here, the thing, and I'm working on this for the Substack, and I'll write about it at some point. I'm doing the research on it. It really is experience and age. It's number of seasons that your best guys have played. It's number of snaps your best guys have played. And when we thought that Michigan showed a formula retaining guys in 2023 and winning it all. Ohio State did the same in 2024. We thought Penn State was that team with retention in 2025. It doesn't really matter how you do it, whether it's retention or getting guys in the transfer portal. Indiana's old. Mm-hmm. Miami's pretty old. Ole Miss is pretty old. Now, those are all old because their guys played elsewhere. And then they got veteran established players in the portal. But I'm really going to be on the lookout for age. And we saw that happen in college basketball. You know, when we were in the one and done era, and then it was like, well, if you have smaller schools, you can keep guys around for 4 years. That's how you even the playing field. And so, you know, we had an era. You look at Georgia. I did part of this research. Georgia in 2022, when they repeated, they were so young. They had no experience. And it was okay. Like, they had a path to it. You were still, that was the last vestige of that era of, like, if you have a great recruiting class in year three, before they jump to the NFL, you can win. That's kind of what Ohio State tried to do this year. Ohio State this year, even though they had some guys like Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry who'd been around, number of snaps they played, they were so much less experienced than last year. And then they lost to two teams in Indiana and Miami. Miami's had some six-year guys running around. Indiana has some six-year guys running around. And that's because of NIL keeping guys in school, because of the portal letting them move. Age and experience has evened the playing field for the teams that were winning with third-year guys who are five-star recruits.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm coming from with the 8-4 at some point is going to happen around here, and it's not going to be all the time, but it is going to happen because eventually you're going to miss on somebody in the portal. Eventually you're going to miss on a quarterback. And that thing that they're so proud of, and they should be, that developed here, I don't know if that's going to exist anymore, Doug, because we saw it this year already in the portal at the receiver position. You remember that picture of like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and all those guys? That's over. You can't afford to have to pay five-star receivers and have them all in the room. It doesn't work anymore.
Six of the top nine recruits from the class of 2024 aren't going to get the year three for for Ohio State, right? Like, it's that kind of thing. And then it's also, but it's also one of those things where that's what evens it out. Like, the blue bloods, they lose potential, mm-hmm. but then they bring in production. So even something like, I think Mason Williams, the Ohio University tight end that Ohio State got, Jelani Thurman were the same class. Jelani Thurman was a top 150 player in the country. Mason Williams was like in the thousands. Mm-hmm. But Mason Williams went to Ohio and played. Jelani Thurman stayed for 3 years here and got blocked, right, and yep. never played. And so now what do you want? It's like, well, now Ohio State will take the sure thing, and Jelani Thurman is going to go somewhere else to try to play. So I do think Ohio State, you can already see a little bit of the movement, right? I mean, John Walker, Mason Williams, you know, mm-hmm. the linebacker from Wisconsin, some of these guys they're adding, it's like, are we sure they're better than some of the guys they have? I don't know. But if you look at what they were projecting, they were going to project about 6 backups moving into starting roles on that defense. But if you do that, you know what you are? You're inexperienced. So do you just have to find a way to get a little bit – and it's less age than number of snaps that you played. And so you have to find a way to develop your own guys faster, but you also have to be open to trading potential of guys who haven't played on your roster for production of guys who have played – on other people's rosters. And I think Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, they're going to start doing that more.
Yeah, they have to. Doug, I'd never pay for a 17 and 18 year old again, unless it's Jeremiah Smith. Like, I wouldn't. If I'm paying for a 17 and 18 year old, he's starting. He is starting. I'm not going to do anything other than that.
And it's, I mean, I think you see that a little bit with like Devin Sanchez this year, right? Like, was Devin Sanchez perfect? No. Was he a 5-star from Houston that you wanted to show him that you like him, mm-hmm. that you wanted to develop him by the end of the year? The snaps he got against Miami were pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to Devin Sanchez. He knows there were some ups and downs. But like a guy like that, but then the hard part is you play a guy like Bo Jackson, doesn't mean he stays. You don't play a guy like Aaron Scott, doesn't mean he stays. Like, you can get it coming and going with some of the young guys. So I think there's going to be two things that might shift this a little bit. One is if we get to enforceable contracts where at least you can sign a guy for like 2 years, right, yeah. So that like you're getting a little bit of certainty, and I don't think that's an unfair thing. And however you get there, you get there. And then the other thing is, if we get to some kind of rule, I don't think we should have 6th and 7th year players in college football. I don't find it particularly entertaining that a 23-year-old guy, Keontae Scott's awesome for Miami. He's 23. Yeah. He's a 6th year guy. It's like, yeah, he picked off Julian Sain. He's 4 years older than Julian Sain. I don't think college football is designed for 23-year-old guys. And it exacerbates the problem because the 6-year guys wind up blocking some of the 2nd and 3rd year guys who then get frustrated and transfer. So I think we have to get somewhere with why everybody wants to. Trinidad Chambliss has to get an extra year. What about the guys he's blocking? Diego right. Pavia wants to play until he's 28. What about the guys he's blocking? There's a league for them. It's called the NFL.
Yes.
And so I think we have to get to a point where we're getting the 6-year guys out of college football because it's too easy of a way to win. It's like, oh, wait, our 24-year-old beat your 18-year-old. It's like, of course they did. They could babysit them, right? So I think that might even itself out if the sport fixes itself that way.
Yeah, wasn't Carson Beck in the same recruiting class as C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, Carson Beck's a 6-year guy. Yeah, Keontae Scott and Carson Beck were both in the same recruiting class as C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's crazy. What are we doing?
Like, congratulations, but also is that what we're supposed to be doing, right? And that's not a shot at Miami. They're doing what you're supposed to do. But does that mean Ohio State's supposed to give up on high school recruiting and plan to get 60-year transfers? Like, Keontae Scott and Carson Beck beat Ohio State. Does that mean Ohio State wants to be Miami? Right? I don't know. But Carson Beck made some plays that Julian Sain didn't.
Yeah.
Right? Well, why did he make it? Is Carson Beck better than Julian Sain? No, he's not more talented. He's 4 years older.
Yep.
He has 1,800 more college snaps. So then, like, what are you aiming for? So congratulations to Miami. And it's cool the playing field has been leveled. I'm not sure we want it leveled, but with 23 and 24-year-olds.
Yeah, and I've said this week, I don't think Ohio State will ever have another redshirt freshman or freshman quarterback. I mean, Sam Levitt's available. I know what he is. Like, you,
it's just hard because...
Right?
The first year is hard. There's a payoff in year two. Like, what's year two Julian Sain going to look like? It's hard, but you look at Fernando Mendoza, but then you can also look at guys that miss, right? And not every transfer portal guy, but you look at the crop of young quarterbacks that were supposed to be great this year, DJ Lagway, mm-hmm. right? Like there's, it's not just, so you end up, if you can have someone else take your lumps, and you get the finished product, that can be super attractive. But on the other hand, all Ryan Day wants is year two, year three of his quarterback to really get to know him. So then the idea is Julian Sain has to leap next year. And I don't know how much you've talked about it, and I missed being on last week because I was flying. I didn't think Julian Sain played well. Like, Bill and I rewatched it for our – we did a full rewatch on the Bill and Doug show. We thought he played about a C-minus game. And that Carson Beck is not as good as Julian Sain, but he made a couple plays with his legs. He stayed in the pocket, made a couple throws. I thought he played young, and you understand it, but he didn't elevate in the postseason, and that's going to stick with him. But, like, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. I don't know for sure that it's just, like, let's get one-year portal guys every single year. I don't know. It's a bind.
It is. And it's in, because the best example of it is happening tonight.
Absolutely.
Cignetti. I mean, this is the most remarkable thing, as far as I'm concerned, in the history of college athletics, what he's done. I mean, it's nuts what he's done.
He made the worst program the best program in 2 years.
In 2 years.
I mean, it's hard also. He might be the best college football coach we've seen in 50 years. You know, like, I don't, right? I mean, outside of Saban, right? Like, I don't, like, it's also, you want to replicate that. Also, that guy might have the special sauce. So you can chase something, right? I mean, I believe it. I've said I think they're the new Clemson. I don't think they're going anywhere. Yeah. I think this is going to be a 5-7, 10-year run, right? I don't think they have to vanish into the night. But does that mean Ohio State should try to emulate everything Kurt Cignetti does? I would say no. But also this year, the top 30 players, the 30 guys that mattered for Indiana, 12 of them were portal ads this offseason. Ohio State, it was 4. Georgia, it was 2. Bama, it was 3. Ole Miss, it was 17. So, like, I don't think you have to get to a third of your roster as offseason portal ads, but you probably got to have more than 4.
Yeah.
Oregon had 9. So I think you can see this with some of the stuff Ohio State's doing in the portal. I think you're seeing a little more portal aggression. I think you're seeing a shift. I don't think Ohio State should do exactly what Indiana does and give up on the high school stuff in favor of all portal all the time. You know why Indiana does it, but Ohio State should slide, and I think is sliding more that way, but not quite as far.
Yeah, crazy time in the sport. The content's incredible. You do some of the best of it, buddy. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, brother. I'll see you.
All right, there he goes. Doug LaMaurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. BillandDougOSU.substack.com is where I look forward to reading that research piece. He's as good as he is at all this stuff. That's going to be fascinating to see how rosters are put together and the right way to do it. We'll hit you with three things on a Friday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Start the new year off.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeremy.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese. What do we have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, who's your pick to win tonight's Peach Bowl semifinal and advance to play Miami in Miami for the national championship? 76% of respondents say Indiana is going to beat Oregon tonight at 7:30.
I'm with the 76. Where Same. Are you guys?
Yeah, they won by 10 when they played in Eugene, and I think Indiana's just only gotten better. I mean, I think Oregon's gotten healthier.
Sure.
But I'm almost hesitant to say this, but I'm like, Kurt Cignetti's two wins away from becoming like the final boss in college football.
Well, he walks a little bit like Vince McMahon, too. Got a little bit of that in him.
I think it is Indiana tonight, too. I know it's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, but they beat Oregon by 10 in Eugene. That's a tough place to play. And I just think they've got a swagger. They have a belief that comes from him that I just think permeates that whole team. And I think they believe they're winning this all. I think they believe they're the best team, and they probably are.
Yeah, they are. I think they are the best team. I think it would take a lot for them to lose tonight and a lot for them to lose next week against Miami. Miami's got a puncher's chance if they can get healthy against them. What is the number tonight? I haven't even looked.
So it's still Indiana minus 3.5.
I think they cover.
Did it open? Is that too?
I did see that that Indiana Miami would be like 7.5.
Yeah, Hard Rock Casino says Indiana would be a 5.5-point favorite over Miami. Oregon would be a 2.5-point favorite over the Canes.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Oregon just because I just can't with Indiana. But at the same time, like if he pulls this off and he goes 16-0 at Indiana in his second year with the program, and his only two losses are against Ohio State here and at Notre Dame. That's Pantheon stuff. Pantheon. And even if they get upset, it's impossible what he's done there. Absolutely impossible. And it isn't just being old and getting guys in the portal. It's getting him to row in the same direction. And that's the other thing that gets missed sometimes in this, is you can go get the best transfer portal quarterback, which is what they did. You can be aggressive in all those fronts, but you got to build the team then in short order. You have to build that team in an off season, during the season. And those kids buy into what he's selling. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think we're looking at Indiana and Miami a week from Monday down in South Florida for the national title, which is nuts. Nuts. I mean, that's like a Carquest Bowl from 10 years ago. Time for three things on a Football Friday. Hit it, guys.
Three things.
Number one for me, this is a rarity. We have a free and clear Saturday. I don't think I've had a free and clear Saturday where nobody has an obligation. Not a kid, not me, not the blonde, none of us. Not Buddy Garrity, nobody. Free and clear Saturday. I don't even know what to do with my hands. Not sure what I'm going to do with all of this, other than root for the Rams to beat the brakes off the Panthers and somehow get some sort of restitution with NBC. By the way, I tried to do a triple or nothing. I said, I'll give you the points. I'll give you the points.
That's good tonight. Job out of you.
I tried. He's like, 10-1, 10-1.
Smart kid.
He didn't take it.
Smart kid.
So Amazon has got one of the NFL games this weekend. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit are going to be on the call tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Packers at Bears. Al Michaels is coming back for the 2026 season.
Is he really?
Yeah, Amazon told Front Office Sports and broke that news. I didn't notice this year and there were some clunkers, but there are also a lot of really, really good games on Thursday night.
Yeah.
He didn't seem as grumpy, and maybe that's because the quality was better.
They had better games. He's still the best. Like, he can do it as long as he wants, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
He's still the best. When I hear his voice, it's a warm blanket.
Since you talked about NFL games on Amazon, I will talk about NFL games on Peacock. I saw where Peacock is going to be adding some enhancements to the sound on their broadcast and give you options where if you want to mute the announcers, you can. Now, I know there are some bad announcers out there, but wasn't it NBC that tried this back in the 80s where they did an NFL broadcast with no announcers? It was just crowd noise and the actual game noise. And it didn't even last a whole season, I don't believe. People hated it, so I'm not sure why we're trying things again that failed in the past. I mean, maybe somebody's like, I just can't stand Chris Collinsworth. I'm going to mute him. But then that would be weird. You just have Tirico. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of money spent on something that really isn't necessary.
Yeah. Then there's a lot of that that goes around. Number two for me, give you an update on Buddy Garrity. So the ear infection led to water trapped in his ear, which led to him scratching it to the point that it became bloody and mess. So got to the vet yesterday, already better in 12 hours. I mean, he's better exponentially very, very quickly. Also wanted to shout it out. Cole passed this along to me. One of the listeners, one of their listeners on a YouTube chat shared some sort of an apparatus that you put the dog's foot into that cleans it when they come out of the mud, and I promptly ordered one. So thank you for looking out. That's something I'm going to put to use probably tomorrow when it comes here via Amazon.
I think I know the thing you're talking about. It did not work for Odie.
Really?
Yeah. But I hope it works for Buddy Garrity.
What did Odie not like about it?
The putting the foot in the thing.
Oh, he's not for it.
He's like, don't do that. A towel is just what we got.
Best
because it's muddy. We just got towels in and out of both of the front entrance and the back entrance. We've got towels that are just folded up, ready to go for his little paws. The Cheez-It Bowl, or the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, was Michigan and Texas. It was Cheez-It. I saw this on Instagram because I follow Cheez-It for some reason.
Okay.
They said that their bowl game, the Citrus Bowl, was the most watched non-CFP bowl game. And they took like a victory lap doing that. I'm like, man, it wasn't because you had Cheez-It mascots. It was because it was Michigan, Texas. It had been the Car Care Bowl and people would still have tuned out because of those brands, man. But Cheez-It's still great.
Yeah. Cheez-It's a delicious treat. This is a great weekend, I feel like, for viewing sports with the CFP game tonight, the NFL playoffs all weekend long. But if you want to go check out some live sports here in town, Ohio State has a back-to-back with Michigan State in men's hockey at the Shot tonight and tomorrow. The game tonight is at 6:30. The game tomorrow is at 5. And tonight, they're doing their $5 power play, which is a beer and chips for $5. I may have to head over to the Shot, catch Caden Lidstrom playing for Michigan State.
I was going to say, yeah, Lidstrom's there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's that? I wonder how that. And then the kid at Penn State, right? Are those guys dominating?
Jackson Smith is having a pretty good year for Penn State. It's been a struggle for Caden Lidstrom so far, coming off of the back injury.
All right. Finally, number three for me. The blonde has a birthday dinner for one of her friends. So Fridays are for the boys. I love it. It's like me and the boys go get a little dinner. Love it. Pure joy.
Final thing for me, today is National Quitters Day. That's when statistics or the math says most abandon their New Year's resolutions. I just have one thing for anybody thinking or wavering from it. Just give it one more day and see how you feel tomorrow. Don't quit today.
What is it they say? 3 weeks makes a habit, Reese.
Yep.
Final thing for me, Rothman and Ice are coming up next. JP is in for AR. They're going to talk a little college football, probably some National Football League, too, with Chris Sims at 2:30.
All right, you got that to look forward to, which is nice. We are back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan.
Get ready for the...
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FIRST.